Carrie. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, June 1st, 2020. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern until midnight. If you are listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save America. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side. Okay, before we move forward, we have some technical difficulties. I was hearing things going back and forth. Was that you, Terry? Trying to get, it looks like we're in Q&A.
That is
right
me.
Now.
I had the technician put it in Q&A mode and leave it. And
okay, that's good.
I can explain it later.
All right, sounds good. All right, we'll move forward and we'll figure it out later after the program or tomorrow we'll talk, okay? All right, we'll start off with tonight's scripture reading. Pick up where we left off last week. See if I can get it up here. This is Romans chapter 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to a husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if the husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead there wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I have not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin taketh occasion by the commandment, wroth in me, all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin taketh occasion, by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me, by that which is good, that sin, by the commandment, might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God, after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. That was Romans chapter 7. Okay, this evening we don't have a particular subject that we're going to look into. We've been working on some new paperwork. I think we're going to file it this week. I was going to try to file it today, but, you know, going down to get to the county clerk and everything to make a filing in the state court, because we're going to file this paper in the state court. And, you know, it can't be done right now, but I can do it through the mail. So I'm going to go through the filing through the mail in the next day or two. And then serve all parties involved. We've got a lot of things going on, of course, in the courts, particularly, of course, in the federal court. Okay, thanks, Terry. So we've got a lot of things going on. But this is another case, you know. We've been having problems ourselves. Not a lot of problems, but we've been having problems. I've had problems over the years many times. With YouTube being shut down completely. I've had my programs, my YouTube channel shut down twice. And right now I've got two YouTube channels up, one which I put things on that might be shut down, and another one is all our stuff, you know, that we create. And on that one, as soon as we got it up, within days after putting a couple of videos up there, they shut us down. And they did turn us back on like 3 or 4 days later. But at that point in time, I had decided we're going to do a lawsuit against these people, not just for myself, of course, but for everybody. So we've done a lot of research. We've written the papers. We're going to be filing papers against YouTube, Facebook, what's the other one? Twitter. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. What's the other one? There's a fourth one. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. Well, whatever that fourth one is, I forget. Google itself. Yeah, Google, because you know, you go Googling things and they get all kinds of stuff and they hide everything in the back, you know. So in any event, it's perfect timing for this because we just finished the paperwork this past week. And no sooner as we finished the paperwork, Donald Trump came out talking about the problems with them. And he did an executive order, which we did add into our paperwork. So we're going to share that paperwork next week. I don't know that I'm going to read through it, but we'll maybe look at portions of it, and then we'll post it up and people can read it on their own. But we'll discuss it a little bit. Now, the plan at first was to take this straight into the federal court under our own court. And I thought a little bit about that, and it could be done in a federal court because it's a First Amendment issue, and that being, of course, the jurisdiction of the United States Supreme Court, or the Federal District Court, shall I say. But an unalienable right, even of a First Amendment right, can be decided inside of a state court, And so I'm thinking, well, we'll take it from a different direction. We're going to file it in the state court, and they're probably going to call for a hearing pretty quickly. I'd perceive within a couple of weeks after filing it, they'll probably try to get a hearing. We want to do everything we can to prevent that hearing, but we will go down to the hearing. I want to put everybody on alert that could possibly make it to this court hearing. It's a very important court hearing. We're going to be suing them for a lot of money. And we're going to take that money and use it to educate the people.
and enough money to really go even into our local schools and start working on forcing the schools to be obedient to the law, teach civics, and we'll try to get our civics program in there and our constitutional course into the schools. We're going to try to turn the book that we wrote and probably create a textbook out of it or something. But in any event, that's going to be the project. We're going to sue for a lot of money for the sole purpose of re-educating the people. The details of all that, we'll get into more details at the point in time when we win this case. Now, I don't know how it's going to go. I think they're probably going to default. There's no way they're going to be able to answer the paper that we wrote. So they will probably default on us. But they'll probably try to, first of all, call for a hearing, get a judge involved, which we're not calling for a hearing. We're not filing an RJI, which is a request for judicial intervention. So we're not requesting that. And being the sovereigns of the court, and those people being fictions, because it's all corporations, they don't have that power or authority to try to change jurisdictions. And clearly no one could change a jurisdiction anyway, once one calls, one side or the other calls for a common law process. But in any event, that'll be the argument probably that will have to be made before a judge in New York. It'll be done in Dutchess County, New York. So anybody who thinks that they could make it to that case when that comes up, pay attention and try to get there. We'd like to fill the court up with as many people as we can, and we'll think about what kind of a strategy we might play a role in this. We are coming into the court as the grand jury, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, on behalf of the people, and suing, of course, on behalf of the people. And we will be making our argument against any kind of, intervention that some quote-unquote judge might want to apply. And so that'll be the first part of an argument that we'll make. Maybe we'll get through that, and maybe the judge will agree with us and force the other side to answer. Therefore, they will do one of two things. They will agree to what we've had to say, and I don't know how they can't not, because they'd have to lie to not agree. It's everywhere, all the things that they've been doing. Or they will default. In either case, we will file then for a collection and go through that process. And that should go rather quickly. There being a two things. First of all, when someone defaults, then they can't appeal. That's to begin with. The second thing is we're opening a court of record, so there's no appeal from the court of record either. But maybe through a default, there is a they do have these statutes that allow them, if they have good reason, and to get past that bar is pretty tough, so I don't think they'd be able to do that. If the judge decides to try to interfere, we will suggest very strongly to the judge that he might want to recuse himself. If we get a denial from that, then we'll make notification of the fact that we're going to be moving this into federal court for cause and going after the judge also at the same time for violating our right of due process, and then take this process into the federal court where we filed up up in Albany, New York. Now, I doubt there won't be a hearing in that. We'll be bringing that into our court. This could play. There's a couple of things that could happen. Sometimes these people, they like to wait almost to the last minute before they respond, and then they get a hearing. And once we shut that hearing down and move it into the federal court, if it doesn't go our way, that is, of course, it's going to take them time to try to do something in the federal court. And it'll be probably very close, but they might just default that way alone, bypassing the 30-day requirement of answering. But in any event, we'll see what happens. But the key thing here is this. We need as many people as we can at this court case in Dutchess County, New York. It's Poughkeepsie, New York. So anybody that's living close by, a lot of people in New York, we've got a lot of members throughout New York, Connecticut, and Jersey, even parts of Pennsylvania might be a little close enough, where people can come to this hearing and It's not going to be a long hearing, I'm sure, but it might be an interesting one. And again, we'll be coming on behalf of the people through the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. So we'll see how that goes. So I think we shouldn't probably shouldn't have any problems getting the paperwork through the process this week, and probably have it all served by Friday. And we'll post it up on the website, and we'll make reference to it next week. And again, probably discuss a few paragraphs here or there, but we're not going to read through the whole thing. And then we'll see where we go. Okay, so tonight I don't have a particular subject, so I guess we'll go right into any questions that have been emailed in. Do we have any questions, Jan or Terry?
We do have quite a number, John, so.
Okay. Anything? I saw something come through for Brent, so you can hold it off till Brent comes in.
Okay, yeah, I have two for Brent here, so we'll have to hold on to them. First question is, when a social worker has fabricated all kinds of stories about you and you have proof that they were all fabricated and have completed every court order that was ordered and the court is trying to terminate my parental rights, what can I do?
Well, this is the problem. They fabricate everything. I don't know that I've ever... We've been in the courts hundreds of cases over the past 10 years or so, and I don't think I've ever been in a court where they don't fabricate things. They change the rules, the laws. They just don't care. They break the law right in your face, and they really don't care. Family court is the worst of all. The couple of things, well, one thing you could do, if you have the experience, you could move it into federal court for cause to be get out of there because of due process. You don't get due process in family courts. Does he say he or she say what state they're in?
No, she doesn't.
Okay. I know here in New York, family courts are supposed to be courts of record. That's a real joke, a real joke. It's not even possible to be a court of record the way they run these things. But, you know, a court of record means that the people run the court. We need to think about that. You know, right now, these family courts, you know, we have a judge who is a bar attorney, okay, who runs the court as a judge, making decisions and summary judgments and all these things. And then every child involved gets a lawyer. So if there's two children, there's two lawyers, or three or four or five, depending on how many kids. And then, of course, often each of the parents or the parents will have a lawyer, depending, again, if it's one parent against another. It's a tough thing when it's one parent against another, but when it's the CPS coming out after you, you know, and it's usually, of course, the wife and husband, mom and dad, are fighting for their children. And like I said, if you got experience, you can move it into federal court, of course. But you got to really realize and understand what you're doing with this and be somewhat educated. The other thing you could do is you could do a habeas corpus, where they have to determine why, you know, to what authority they're holding you and taking your children. And this is your property. And, you know, it sounds a little strange talking about children as property, but generally speaking, your body is your property. The first property you own when you're born is your body. That is your property. It belongs to no one else other than you and, of course, of God. And God has entrusted you with that property. And when the government tries to intervene, because when children are born, obviously they're given to their parents. God entrusts the children to their parents, who is responsible for them until they're of age to decide for themselves. So that's their property. And they have no right, the government has no authority or no right to come and take your children without some kind of a criminal complaint and a grand jury decision for that. And then brought into a court of justice, a court of record, where the people decide. Now, again, family court systems should be set up in such a fashion. Well, we're not going to get too deep into that. We're going to write a paper on the structure, what a structure of family court could be. We're going to create what is right, what appears to be just in common law thinking. You know, again, people who are just not part of the Bar Association, not necessarily part of the judicial process and system, but just people trying to fix a problem work out problems with people in families, between the children, or whatever the case may be. But a lot of cases that end up into family court just don't belong in court at all. You know, people from CPS or APS, it's for Adult Protective Services, APS, they just get involved because a lot of times there's money involved in it. It's a money game to begin with. And someone makes a complaint, they make use of that complaint to do as much damage as they can. And I do mean that. They do as much damage as they can possibly do. They damage the children, they damage the parents, they damage the entire family. And meanwhile, they're making money. Money hands over fist. It's RICO on steroids is what it is. All of these people, in my opinion, should be in jail. And we need to shut this process down. But anyway, for the individual, you could do a habeas corpus. We can do a habeas corpus for you. I will tell you that we don't have a lot of successes with them. We do get some. I think we're getting closer and closer to more successes because we are indicting judges, and I think they're starting to take us more serious. We hear things here or there about what goes on in different courts, what they're saying about us, and so on and so forth, and they are concerned about us. I know down in New York City they're concerned about us. And I know out west, I forget what state it was, where we're involved in a case, they're very concerned about us, where the judge did 180-degree. We had a success out there. Judge did do 180-degree and has been fighting on our behalf for quite some time. I'm just finding this out, as a matter of fact, over the past month or so. So we are making progress. But the key thing is this. If you don't get success right away, at some point in time, justice must be served. And the question is when is justice going to be served? If the judge realizes that he's going to be in trouble here, and that the deep state is going down, there is no rock for him to hide under anymore, he's got no more protection, then he very well might do the right thing. We're talking about the federal judge now, because we're moving into federal court. And on the other side of the coin, if he or she doesn't do the right thing, at some point in time, when the whole system collapses, when the deep state is finally taken out and there is absolutely no protection and they're all exposed and we press upon them, and we've been filing everything with the Justice Department. We've been doing that for over 3 years, almost 3+ years. We've been doing it for quite some time, even before President Trump became president. We will have success at some point in time when the courts start to really cave in. And there is no saving America without returning the power and the authority back to the people. The people need to have a court system by their consent. That's what common law is. Judges do not belong in a common law court. Magistrates, which could be a judge, puts on his magistrate cap, which means he becomes a traffic cop, really. He just keeps things going, keeps the process going, puts the seal at the end of the day, puts the order out and the seal and signature, puts the order out to the sheriff for enforcement of whatever the decision of the jury might be, and so on and so forth. But there's no participating in the government side at all inside a court of record. Now, of course, U.S. attorneys or some other attorney on the state level or working for the government could be prosecuting. Well, that's one thing, but that's about it. But as far as the decisions in the court, it's the people. The people decide whether they're going to indict or not. The people decide on whether they're going to convict or not. The people decide whether they're going to decide on what's right and what's wrong and have the power and the authority of jury of nullification and through that process to nullify any law or anything that they don't like and what they think is not just for this case. And every case is unique unto its own. So my answer really is get a habeas corpus. If you want us to do it, you can get a hold of Jim. We ask for a donation of $100 or more, but we'll do a habeas corpus. We'll follow it through the process. And if the judge doesn't make a decision at the end of the day on the federal level, We give them the amount of time that's necessary, which is minimum amount. You know, when you put a paper in, they got 3 days. Now, the judge can extend that 3 days to as long as 20 days. They can't go any further than 20 days. But it has to be for good cause, for good reason, to be able to extend the time, because the whole purpose of a habeas corpus is saying, hey, there's no due process here. And you got someone in jail that doesn't belong there. And we need to get that person out. So 3 days is the process. We usually allow 5 days, you know, figure a day for mailing each way or whatever, 5, 6 days, 7 days, let's say. And then we, if the judge doesn't make a decision, then we take it over and we make the decision and file it onto the courts. And then we file it with the Justice Department. Of course, we always serve a copy to the president also, and of course, we file it in the courts. And we are moving through the process. There is a couple of things we do, as a matter of fact, before we actually make that ruling, which the judge is supposed to be making. So there's a couple other papers we might serve upon them and warnings concerning the fact that we're going to indict you, Judge, or at least bring you up for potential indictment. And we've already decided indictment to any judge who refuses to hear a due process case when someone is incarcerated. So we'll go through that process, and even to the point of indicting the judge, making the ruling, and moving forward and seeing where it goes. But at some point in time, again, for those cases that do not get justice, you know, as fast as they should get it, when the collapse comes, I am confident that you will get justice. Listening very careful to Trump, seeing all the things he's done, listening to his speeches and all these things, and a lot of words that he's used that I've never heard him use before. I talk about, you know, real true law he uses in law, the due process type things, common law. I believe he knows that in order to save America, he's got to bring the court system back to where it belongs. That's under common law. And he's got to give it back to the people. Of course, the political process has to be given back to the people. If we don't control the political process and the judicial process, then we indeed do not have government by the consent of the people. And I do believe President Trump understands this. Anyway, that's kind of what I would suggest as a habeas corpus. Getting lawyers falls into their system. And they love to keep your children away from you as long as possible, or keep you going to these courts because they're making the money. All right, any other questions?
Yes. Next question. Recently, by a teleconference trial, the judge stated that my affidavit was not evidence. I thought that an affidavit, unless rebutted, was prima facie evidence. Is this correct?
Well, yes, that is correct, as long as it's unrebutted. An unrebutted, paper is rules to court, you know, an affidavit. So if the other side did not rebut it, point by point, okay, it's up to you to move the case forward and take it to the direction it needs to go, okay? And that is this. It's very simple. Is that all they said? Did they give us any other information?
No. No.
Not even what kind of case it is or anything?
No.
No, okay. I wish we had more information on this, but generally speaking, when you file a paper and the other side doesn't answer and they don't rebut your affidavit, it doesn't matter what the judge says until the point in time it goes past that 30 days, then you move the court for a summary judgment for default because they fail to answer. But you've got to do is you go through your affidavit and you make the points. You rewrite a new paper now, making the points that they have acquiesced, they have agreed that they are guilty of everything you have said on your affidavit, and you bring it into the court, and you can get you should be able to get an affidavit. You should be able to get a judgment on a default on that. The other thing you could do is you could bypass the judge too, because you can do an affidavit. That's what they call that. Well, an affidavit of default is what it's called. If you need some help with this, maybe we can help you with it. But you can do an affidavit of default, take it right to the clerk, And then from the clerk, take it right over to the sheriff for execution for whatever it is that you're trying to do or get or what a release or whatever it is. We've done that in a case one time. I don't know if Gerard's here. He's here right now. Maybe he can pipe in a little bit to where we did a case where we beat the judge out and we filed the affidavit of default and they tried to turn it around. Gerard, do you want to expound on that a little bit? Are you here? I see your name is in here. So.
Hang on. Can you hear me?
Unfortunately.
I just came in. I didn't even hear the beginning of the sentence.
Okay. Well, basically, an individual is in the court, and the judge says the affidavit doesn't rule as fact. And we don't have a lot of information in this case. But if they have not responded to the affidavit, an unrebutted affidavit rules the court. And he can take that, if it's past the 30 days, no matter what the judge has said or done, they can take it down to the clerk and file for an affidavit of default. We can help them try to do that. And then tell them the story, what happened with us. We just beat it when we beat out that case.
Yeah, because they hadn't responded, and it was well over 30 days, and so I had a hearing scheduled. And I realized that, you know, I should file this with the clerk. So I went to the clerk. I said, look, I put this case in. It's been whatever it is, how many days. They've clearly defaulted. You haven't gotten anything here. They haven't sent me anything. I said, I want to register to default. I want to go ahead. She said, all right. So
we wrote up the affidavit of default and we filed it.
Yeah.
So, yep.
Right.
And then went to the hearing and told him it was shut down already.
Right. He's over there going, blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, it doesn't matter. I got the default right here, Your Honor. They didn't even show up. He was going to move ahead anyway.
Right.
The other side didn't even show up. You know, I mean, God forbid that was me or one of you guys. Right away, they would default you. So the only thing is he played a game because I was all proud of myself. I had this default and stuff. And he goes, why do you do this? Why are you doing this now? I said, well, I'm smarter now. I didn't know 4 years ago. He said, you let this go on all these years and blah, blah. And I said, I learned what was going on. And so, yeah, I'm doing it now. I said, I could do it any time when there's fraud or anything. So then he said, as I'm picking my papers up, walking out, he goes, what do you want me to do? I said, well, you could have dismissed it. Well, he took that as permission to go ahead and move on the case, because like we just got a case and Jim got a case the other day, and they defaulted, and then they sent the grand jury 10 questions they want us to answer. Now, if we answer those questions, you know what's going to happen? That makes the default go away, because that means you're okay with answering a question after the defaulted. So you have to be careful with that. And that's kind of, when I went out and I said, you know, well, you should dismiss it. Well, that was like me answering after the default as far as he was concerned, you know. And so that's why when you're in court, you got to learn to keep your mouth shut, because anything you say can and will be used against you, you know. So that's the way that went.
Okay. So anyway, if that individual wants some help, get a hold of Jan. You can find his number in the directory, and he'll try to make a connection with me. We'll talk a little bit and see if we can help you a little bit with that paperwork. Hopefully it's been 30 days, and if it hasn't been 30 days, hopefully it'll get there close without any more, conversation or communications to the courts, and then we'll help you file those papers. Okay, next question.
As of last week, the new tracing training manuals for the employees who will knock on your door to test the household state, that one of the first things they need to establish is if the members of the house are in jurisdiction, in quotes. The question is there any reason I should not change my jurisdictional status with the American State Assembly Group?
Okay. Well, I don't know what the American State Assembly Group is. Can you reread the first part of that?
Okay, I believe that.
Because it sounds like he tried to make his status somehow, maybe going to the county, filing a paper, declaration or something. But read the front.
He wants to
read the whole question again.
As of last week, the new tracing training manuals for the employees who will knock on your door to test the household state, that one of the first things they need to establish is if the members of the House are in jurisdiction. The question is there any reason I should not change my jurisdictional status with the American State Assembly group? I thought that was Anna von Ritz's group.
Yeah, I have no. I'm not even. I don't even understand the question, to be honest with you. I'm not sure what the state group is all about. Again, it sounds like there's some kind of a declaration or trying to file some kind of a statement on their sovereignty or something. And so I think that's what they're trying to do. But again, I need more information to try to answer that question. I don't have enough information. Maybe they can try to ask it again with more information.
Okay. The next question then, Attorney General William Barr seeks the authority to empower federal judges throughout the country to provisionally deny constitutionally protected civil and individual rights to people within their jurisdictions. This power would, per Politico, span several stages of the legal process, from initial arrest to how cases are processed and investigated.
Well, you know, this sounds like fake news to me. They're responding to fake news. William Barr hasn't done anything like that. I can't perceive him doing anything like that. I've heard him speak in numerous places. I've heard him speak in a church. I've heard him speak to the Federalists and other places. And boy, if anyone understands the Constitution and it appears to understand the common law, William Barr is that guy. So I have no idea where anybody would make a claim where you're hearing that from, that he's going to, you know, ignore people's unalienable rights. So anyway, I guess that's all I got for that. I think it's just fake news they're responding to.
Right. Okay. If all motions have been filed in the local federal court, an amicus removal habeas default order / decision with no response from the local federal court, what is the next step? Does the case move from federal court to superior court, then Supreme Court, then Magna Carta 25? Question.
Well, look at where the highest court of the land. There is no place to go to appeal. They have to obey it. Of course, they don't like to obey it. They don't want to obey it. So after they ignore the order and this decision and order, then we move forward with an indictment on the judge, and we file the indictment, and all the papers are filed with again Attorney General William Barr, and we send a copy to the president, and we file it up here, and we post it on our website, and then it's just a matter of waiting until the deep state folds, and then we push forward for justice. You know, either the judges are going to obey the law now or they're going to obey the law later. And that's where we're at. It depends on how much they believe or don't believe on what's going on. I mean, they're still self-deluded. These people still think that they have a chance of winning, but I think, you know, everything they do keeps failing. So I think they're getting to the point, they got to be getting to the point where they realize they're losing and they're going to lose. When they realize that, maybe they'll start making the right decisions. So that's where we'll be. Until then, that's all we could do at that point. Okay, next.
What is NLA doing to help the local patriots with the socialist government going on now in some of the cities and states?
Well, you know, I know president just called out the militia, or the National Guard, shall I say, which is supposed to be the militia, and he declared martial law, someone just told me just a couple minutes ago, so I don't know if that's true or not. But again, that would only be in those areas, those cities areas. He does have to put down, that's insurrection, what's going on around this nation right now. It is planned, it is a conspiracy, and it's going on. I understand there are 20 states involved in this, and so he's going to put that down. It's an insurrection, he's going to put it down, and rightly so. and then it's going to move forward from there. Read that question again, because I know there was a second part. I think I want to respond there.
Okay, what is NLA doing to help the local patriots with the socialist government going on now in some of the cities and states?
All right, well, you know, again, we can't react quick enough to do much of anything. Trump is already moving on it. Barr is moving on it. Matter of fact, we happen to know that Barr already knows who has conspired, the conspirators, the people on the upper level, the people who are paying these people, the people who are busing these people in. He already knows who these people are. He's working through that process, and we'll let that go through him. You know, what we're doing against this lawsuit we're going to bring up against Facebook and Google and Twitter and YouTube, you know, this particular lawsuit we're going up against them, this is not only a violation against the people, it's also a criminal act, and they need to be really indicted. But we're going to leave, because we do know that Barr's looking into this also, so we'll leave that to Barr and whoever he's going to appoint to that to deal with these people, with these media giants that control the Internet and try to censor us and shut us down and so on and so forth. They're going to put an end to that, and he's going through that process. So we'll let that go. If it doesn't happen, which I believe it's going to, but if it doesn't happen, then we'll consider picking that up. But right now, we're going to go to a lawsuit with them. Same thing here. Things are moving too quickly. We don't have the time and the forces and the ability and the manpower to be able to respond to this particular case. You know, our responding to going after these media giants, you know, these you know, YouTube and all the rest of them, Facebook and so on, going after them, we've been planning this for probably a month and working on the paperwork for a week or two. And just as we finished it up, then Trump came out with the executive order concerning these giants, these media giants on, you know, the Internet. And so the timing is perfect for us. We'll be filing the papers. He just came out with that, I think it was Thursday or Friday, and we're going to be filing the papers before this Thursday and Friday, so within a week of that time period. So we're right on point. We just happen to be done with, you know, there at the time. To deal with this problem, we don't know enough. There's too much going on. We don't have names. There's nothing really that we can do. We'll let the president handle it, and whatever governors are going to do the right thing and handle it. But I do believe justice is going to be done in those areas. Okay, next question.
Could you please elaborate on the Ninth Amendment to the Bill of Rights? This amendment is seldom discussed and represents protections and benefits not known to many people.
Okay, the Ninth Amendment. Let me open up my Constitution here and read the Ninth Amendment. Where is that? There it is. Okay. The Ninth Amendment, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. In other words, basically, these 10 amendments is not the only rights that we have. We have a right to travel. We have a right to represent ourselves. We've got all kinds of rights. There can be no law to restrain or restrict an individual from doing anything as long as what they're doing is not a wrongdoing. So there's thousands of rights you really have. You have a lot of rights. The Bill of Rights only details some of the most important ones, the big ones. But there's a lot more than that. And that's what the Ninth Amendment is really saying. And then, of course, the Tenth talks about powers not delegated. All right, next question.
That is all the questions I have, John. I have one that's about a page long, but it's not really coherent, and it would take too long to run through it.
Okay. All right. Gerard, are you ready to take control? Is Brent here?
I don't see him.
Okay. Gerard, you want to take the panel, and we'll move into Q&A?
Yeah,
Well, I'm moving to Q&A until Gerard gets back and takes it away from me. Okay, let's take our first question. Keep an eye out for Brent.
Okay,
we'll take our first question. It is Christina from L.A. You got the mic.
Yes, Christina.
Yes.
So I just joined. I'm new to your group. So, and I'm just finding out within the last few months that all about the whole U.S. citizen. You know a guy named David Strait?
That sounds familiar, but no, offhand,
He's
I don't.
He's on care. President Trump's Exposing Corrupt Government Task Force.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so I happened to, well, it was a God thing. I was in prayer, and God revealed that to me, and I listened to a whole week of his explaining, you know, the whole CPR, you don't want to be a citizen, a person, or a resident, and I mean, I only learned that much, so I learned a little bit about all the lies I believed. You know, so as far as coming to your group new, I'm new to your group, and so what would you tell me, because I don't know how, like, obviously I don't want to be part of a corrupt system, like, what would you tell somebody who is just discovering all this? Like, what do I need to do?
Well, anybody who is just waking up to this, we do have a page, by the way, on our website. On the front page, you should be able to see the browser here. We have something. Let me see if I can find this. I thought it was on the
not
top.
Knowing, also not knowing much about the law. So mm-hmm. It's like just getting my head out of the sand.
Yeah, if you recently just awakened to the conspiracy to destroy America, this is right on our front page. It's a short paragraph. I'm going to read it. If you have recently awakened to the conspiracy to destroy America and the war that is raging throughout the world that is being suppressed by the complicit subversive media and want to catch up, or if you want to keep up to date on what is really going on behind the scenes, view the videos on the pages under Q above. And so on the blue line, on the we have a tab that has Q. And if you start there with the things underneath that particular tab, click on the Q tab, and you'll go through things. Again, there's, let's see how many pages you got. We put up to 1, 2, 3, 4 pages. So there's a lot of videos on those 4 pages. And that will bring you up sort of to really what's going on, at least today, over the past few years. Right up to date what's happening. So that's one thing you want to do. But the most important thing is to get educated. We have an education tab. If you highlight our education tab, you'll find, well, actually, let's say courses, the course tab. Highlight our course tab. We have a free civics course. Now, that course is 120 hours. It's mostly video and audio, and then we ask a few questions after each video and each audio, and then you move along. And as soon as you get all the questions right, you move to the next step and so on. When you go through that, we've got something like, I think, 18 documentaries, which was done by Griffin, Edward G. Griffin. And he's been documenting these things going back to 1959. And he's also looked to the past, of course, in 1959 and into the 60s. And he's documented everything that's been going on. So when you get through this course, you'll really be up to date on how we got to where we're at and how deep this conspiracy is. The deep state is huge. It's deep. And that's why it's taken Trump so long to take it out. We're just at the point now where he's about to take him out. But it took them 3.5 years to get to this point. And of course, he was busy being president and doing other things. But nevertheless, that civics course will bring you up to date and really give you an in-depth understanding. It'll give you a rounded view on the common law, a rounded view on history. We've got a guy named Thomas Woods. He's a professor of the Constitution, and he gives a really, really good courses. I forget how many lectures we have by him, but that's in that course also. And other things, and we give a brief, we give some brief looks at the Constitution. We have Michael Bodnarik, who ran the third Continental Congress, back in 2008. He was the president. I think it was 2008 or 2009. I think it was 2008. And but in any event, he's been doing some constitutional teaching for quite some time. We took his course. He travels around and gives a course, a full day's course on the Constitution, which is really good. It's a good introduction course. But we have that in there too. So we got a lot of stuff on that. Now, we also have government by consent course, and I suggest you take both courses at the same time. You know, you do one for an hour, then maybe do the other for an hour, and just swap them back and forth and go through them. But the government by consent course is a very in-depth course. It goes into the court process, the system, gets into law, the difference between law and equity. It's a blow-by-blow on the Constitution. It's a really in-depth course, and again, it's a quite long course. And anybody who wants to really get involved with us really needs to go through these two courses.
Okay.
We are working on the grassroots level. We're trying to stimulate the people on the grassroots level to start rebuilding the militia from the ground up, taking control of the committee man process, which will take control of the political process, will give them people the power of recall, all kinds of power. They become the authority, because without the committee men, people don't get into office. You have to go through the committee men to get onto the ticket. Now, it is possible to get on without it, without going through them, but it's very, very difficult to do. You've got to get a lot of signatures. But in any event, we need to take back our political process. We're teaching people how to become committee men and the powers and the authorities of the committee men and how we can control our government. We're taking back the judicial process by creating administrators, four administrators for the juries, the grand jury and trial juries, in every county. That's a paid position, and we need to fill about 15,000 positions across the nation. So there's a lot of openings. Right now we have, 1,180 people who have signed up to become grand jury administrators. And it's really grand jury and trial jury administrators. And what they do is we're taking away from the court system, from the fox, the hen house, because the judge is tainting the juries by telling them that he decides the law and, you know, they get to decide the facts. So we know where that case is going to go. And, of course, the grand jury gets abused by the attorneys, the prosecutors. And so we, the people, need to take that back. It always was meant to be, and always was in the past, in the hands of the people. Not in the hands of the courts. Yes. It's been in the hands of the people. But they have taken it over because they've dumbed us down. They've removed civics from school. They've removed anything concerning the Constitution, the law. Our children are not being taught how to think. They're being taught what to think. They're being taught little by little, and today it's full-fledged being taught to be socialist in our schools. So they're destroying the minds of our young people, our children. We need to take all that back. And the only way we could do that is by taking control on the grassroots level. People need to step up and do this. So people need to get educated. We're also writing handbooks, okay? We're writing a special handbook that we haven't got out yet, which is going to be a handbook for the jury administrators. We do have a handbook which I'd like to get more, but we just never get enough money to do it. It's quite a bit of money to really do this. It's like $40,000-$50,000 to get these books out. And I forget how many thousands of books we get for this, but. The book is a handbook, common law handbook for sheriffs, jurists, and so on. We also want to do a special, I'm going to write a handbook also just for jurists, okay, to explain, give them some basic, a primer on things and give them a basic understanding of law and equity and the difference between it and the power and the authority of the people. And a little bit of history, so we're going to work on a booklet for that too. Matter of fact, those two booklets is our next project to write and get done. And I don't perceive it's going to take any more a couple of weeks to get them done, because we've really done all the research already. We've got tons and tons of information stored, and it's just a matter of pulling things together and creating and writing a book, writing them into booklet forms. We will definitely be posting these booklets in PDF forms for people to download and take. But if we can gain, you know, if we can get enough funding where we can actually turn these things into handbooks, you know, then it'd be a lot more powerful. We definitely have to get them out to the sheriffs. Now, if you look on the right side of our handbook, you'll see a militia book here, and that's done by Brent Winters. Anybody who would like to get that booklet, you click on that, this here, this booklet here, militia, and you can get to it. I don't know whether we still have our handbook up here. I don't see it. No, we don't have it. Oh, yeah, here it is. It is. Here's the handbook we wrote, which is the Common Law Handbook for Jurors, Sheriffs, Bailiffs, and Justices. And I think it's a very powerful handbook. At the back of the handbook, there was a little piece we kind of, you know, I realized there was something we should have added. So we did add another page to this. And, you know, I've got a couple of hundred of these booklets left, but I've held them back for other reasons. Like we just send out, we're sending out 100 books to Robert out there in Michigan. He's going to be meeting with all the sheriffs out there in Michigan. I forget how many sheriffs there are, 86 or 87 sheriffs, I think, or 81. So we're sending them out booklets for that. And in the back of the book, we're putting another page, which we are using, you know, those shipping labels and cutting it down to the size of the book with pasting in the back, which is a page, I don't know how we missed it. We should have had this one page in. And with that page in, I think we really got a really good book. It's a good reference book for any sheriff or deputy to really appreciate and empower them and appreciate what the law is, their power and authority. These sheriffs working out, we have a couple of sheriffs, or at least one sheriff particularly, who really is deep into this and has understands, at least now, I don't know how much he understood before, but he understands now the real power and the authority of the sheriff to shut feds down, to shut anybody down, to control the county and maintain the common law in that county. And I think the Michigan project could be a good project, and there's other sheriffs. So we need to get books out to sheriffs. You know, but we need money for that. This one project on the Common Law Handbooks is like $40,000-$50,000. The other booklets will be shorter, so it wouldn't be as expensive for 40, you know. I'm trying to remember how many booklets. It was hundreds of thousands. I don't remember how many booklets it was. Well over 100,000 booklets for $40,000 or whatever it was. I just forget what it was, how many booklets it was, but it was a considerable amount. But the other ones would be cheaper because there won't be as many pages. So between those three handbooks, one for the administrators, one for the jurist, and then this common law handbook, and then, of course, Brent's handbook, which is the militia, okay, of the several states. Those are good handbooks and will really empower the people on the grassroots level as they are organizing, reorganizing the militia again from the ground up, both the organized and the unorganized militia, and also taking control of the committee man process. And we also have another project which we haven't spoke much about, but we did announce it, and we will speak a lot more of it in the very near future, and that is the Republic Project. Goodness, what was the name of that project? Let me take a look, because we did put it up on our website here. Oh, we put it under People's Duty, okay, which is the Republic Review. Very, very powerful program, long overdue, and anybody interested in that, you can go to the Public Review page, just click on that page there, and we've got some videos there introducing to the project, okay. Let's see, the Republic Review argument in bullet format. In accordance with the Article 7 of the Constitution is a compact contract written for and by the states. The legal definition of ratification is the action of signing or giving formal consent to a treaty, compact contract, or agreement making it officially valid. For the compact contract to be given force, it requires a threshold of stakeholders, that is, buy-in states. But anyway, it goes through, and basically it's really pressing the legislators to go back and take out all of the unconstitutional things that they have in their legislations. start to repair our law, so to speak. And that's what that project is all about. And that project will definitely be pushed very powerfully, very strong, and will be accomplished as soon as, or providing that we take back the committeemen process. Mm-hmm. Now, the committeemen is extremely important. People need to learn about these things. All the things we're talking about right now is all under people's duty. Organizing your county, definitely register to vote, you know. Become a committeeman. Everyone should become a committeeman once in their life, men and women. Mm-hmm. It's a 2-year commitment. It's about 40 hours a year. It's not a big deal. It's around election time mostly. You walk the papers for the individuals that you want to bring into office. You get to interview these people and make sure they're statesmen, see what they know about the Constitution. If they don't know enough, tell mm-hmm. them, hey, go your way. Go at the National Liberty Alliance, learn about it, and come back, we'll consider you then. But anyone who doesn't know and understand the Constitution, definitely they have to take a constitutional course. But it's the committeemen that can prevent these people from coming in, these bad players. You know, we have here committeemen members in your county. Anybody that's a committeeman in your county, we're listing those people out as they're joining up. We have the proposed party rules, which we've already initiated in New York. We had a convention here in New York by elected committeemen some years back. I think it was 2012 or 13, somewhere back there. We had taken both parties over, actually, the Republican and Democratic parties, by a handful of people. They rejected us, and we couldn't get empowered, but nevertheless, it was valid. It's in place, and once we can take back the Republic, we can then, force them to acknowledge to the federal courts, we can force the states to acknowledge the elected committeemen, and then the people can take back control again. The Republican Party and the Democratic Party, then those names belong to the people, by the way, because they're parties. We want to fuse the parties together at some point in time and get rid of parties. You know, Washington was against parties, and he said that the parties would be the downfall of our nation, and he was absolutely right. And so we need to fuse them back and get rid of the political parties and just have people who come to decide who they want to put onto the ballot. And then let the people decide, but do you want to put statesmen, people who know the Constitution and who will obey it? And the committeemen have the power to recall, so they can take them out of office within 90 days and have a new person run for office into those positions. So anyway, there's a lot involved there. Reading the committeeman party rules and the proposed party rules and is really give you a good understanding of what the committeemen do and how they're structured. We also have militia registration, which really will be pushed into the states because the states should be doing that work. But we will try to put forth the directories for people and that have joined the militia in different counties, and they be kind of registered in their states and answer within their counties and organize themselves and do what they have to do. Of course, one of the most important things and what we're really pushing on is becoming a jury administrator. We need 15,000 people. And again, we only have about, let's see, how many people did I say we had, 1,100 or something? 1,188 grand jury administrators right now. We need altogether about 15,000, 4 people for every county. Again, mm-hmm. This is a paid position. It's a career. You'd work in 40 hours a week, 5 days a week, it'd be a very rewarding job, a professional paid job, very well paid job, and we will educate the people that want to take those roles. Education for those people is to do every single course we have. Right now we have 3 courses, I think. Let's see. Yeah, we have the civics course, we have the militia course, we have government by consent course. Those are the 3 courses. And then, of course, we're going to do, like I said, the handbooks, and then we'll always be here to advise people for anybody who has any questions. And we'll be here to consistently educate people to fill these positions as they need to be filled, and when they become vacant, to fill them again, and so on and so forth. We have a lot of plans for National Liberty Alliance to get much more deeply involved in educating the people in our political process. to understand much better, you know, on how our government is really structured, what the power and authorities of each elected individuals are, and all these things. So we have a big plan for that, but of course all this takes money. You know, we survive by the widow's mite, so to speak, $5 here and $5 there. Occasionally someone gives us something a little big, and it's really nice and really helps. If we got any really rich people out there that want to throw up $50,000 or $100,000 to do these booklets to get them out, hey, you know, we do have some money we could throw into that, but we haven't collected anywhere near enough to do this. So anyway, anybody got money out there and want to really get the message out to the sheriffs, particularly, okay, with our sheriff's program, now is the time to do it. Now is the time to, you know, donate something like that for this purpose. And depending on how much we could get, we'll do all kinds of booklets.
I have one more question, and I don't know how important this is.
Yeah.
I learned about the birth certificate, the contract with the straw man, the Seth the QV trust, and the security card and driver's license and repudiating. How important do you think doing that is?
Zero. Zero.
So
look at, right, because here's the problem. When we get involved in those things, what are we doing? We're acknowledging them and empowering them. We're accepting them as whatever it is, the powers and the authorities that they have, and we're saying, okay, we accept your powers, we accept the authorities, and now we're going to take our powers and our authorities, and we're going to exercise our power and our authority. And that, first of all, is never going to happen anyway, because they got the guns, they control everything, so that's never going to happen. So it's just it's a pipe dream, really. But even more than that, why acknowledge them? Why not go after them for what they are? They're frauds. This whole system is fraud. The fact that they've changed our first of all, Washington, D.C., by the 1871 Organic Act, Washington, D.C. became a municipality, okay, which is corporatism, okay?
Yeah.
So Washington, D.C. became a state within a city within a city, well, a state within a municipality within a city. And so, you know, that's where the oligarchy rules from. Until Trump came in, he's destroyed all of that. But in any event, you know, that's where it kind of began. And you have all of these towns and cities and counties that have incorporated. They formed municipalities. They've got court systems going up. They've got civil law going on. They're fleecing the people for money, going after them for traffic violations and all kinds of other things. All these things are unlawful, and it's called corporatism. It's called, another name for corporatism is Nazism, or even socialism. It's all the same thing. It's just a different route to get to the same place with the boot on your head, and that's it. But yeah, no.
So
look, when we acknowledge, when we go by and try to do a declaration that we're sovereign people, or we get rid of our birth certificates, or we try to, and our Social Security. Look, we're putting ourselves in a box. I knew a person who did all those things, and he couldn't even travel around. He had to have someone else driving him around because he was afraid he was going to get arrested. And rightly so, he probably would. And, I mean, why live like that? And why give in to them? You know, we do what we got to do. They corralled us into a system. You can't open a bank account without a Social Security number or EIN number. And you can't get an EIN number without a Social Security number. So you're boxed into that. You need your birth certificate for proof in order to get ID and different things. So we're boxed into that, but we don't have to acknowledge it. We can call it for what it is, a fraud. And we're fighting that in the courts right now. That's what our papers are all about. We're fighting every one of these issues, that this is fraud, this is RICO on steroids, and that they are subverting the Constitution and we the people.
So you don't have to do anything special, different, just to declare?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Look, I already got a Social Security number, and I'm using it because I have to use it. I already got a birth certificate, and I'm using it because I have to use it. I do have a driver's license, and I don't want to go to jail, so I've got a driver's license. But my position in court, for instance, matter of fact, I'm going to traffic court as soon as they open back up here, But my position in traffic court is, hey, I'm not driving commercially. Yeah, I got a driver's license because I do occasionally drive commercially. But right now, I'm not driving commercially. And it's a good form of ID, so I have it. So I don't really have a problem with a driver's license. And calling myself a citizen, well, the Constitution uses that word citizens four or five times, maybe more. So I am a citizen. That doesn't take my unalienable rights away. It doesn't. I know they play word games and they try to take control of the meanings of these words to, you know, imprison us into their system, their statutory prison. But we have to deny them and fight them as best we can. We're going to get rid of all this stuff anyway. It's only a matter of time. And Trump knows this. Look, just pay very close attention. Try to listen to every time he speaks. You know, and he speaks a lot every day, every single day. Try to listen to that because you'll hear a little of this and a little of that, and you put it together and you say, this guy does know what's going on. Very much so. All right. Well, hopefully I answered your questions.
Yeah, because me and my husband was not on the same page with that. Look,
you're only going to get yourself in trouble, number one. If you got time to spend in jail and you don't mind sitting in jail and you really want to take a stand that way, well, that's fine too. But remember, we are empowering these people by agreeing that they have some authority.
It's almost like, why agree with the fraud that they already set up? If it's fraud, then it's really not legitimate anyway. So
right. None of it is. It's all a fraud. You're right. Yeah.
Okay. It's like knowing who you are in Christ, that's who you are. It's not who they are.
Amen.
Yeah,
that's right. Okay. Thank you, Christina. We'll take on
all
next.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, James. You got the mic. James from MI. MI is Missouri or Michigan? What is it?
No. MI is Michigan.
Michigan.
M-I-C-H.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, and I was listening, though. I've got many questions, though. I didn't want to put them on the broadcast because they're very unique questions, and I wonder, am I supposed to be harassed? I mean, like, every time I turn around, I mean, I'm being harassed by the sheriff or the deputy, and nobody has the brakes on over here, and the conversation tonight was totally, no, I didn't want to answer any questions, but I asked him, so do you, was this recorded? He goes, well, yeah, it was recorded. I goes, well, how are you going to record me when you can't record the shadow? I mean, because we are separate. Oh, I know you're sovereignty, and I know you're sovereign, but, you know, we got to do what we got to do. I'm like, wait a minute. There's
well, what kind of problem are you having with the sheriff?
Oh, well, they pulled me over because, look, I'm not here to abide by them and go get plates and go get insurance and go get a driver's license and then just trip over my knees and lose where I'm at, because it took me a journey to get to where I am, though I thought I had intelligence that the words, if I don't think correctly, of course, my diabetes gets me into a position of, wait a minute.
Well, let me ask you a question, though. Let me ask you a question, because even in common law, you have to be responsible. You don't have to have insurance. If that's one, I think you mentioned insurance and some other things, plates. You know, you don't have to have insurance as long as you have something that you can put up should someone get injured, you know, and you're at fault. Somebody has to pay for that. So if you're rich or you've got some resources that you can tap into, should an accident happen, then I guess that'd be okay. But it would be a wrongdoing if you got into an accident and you had no insurance and you couldn't compensate that person. So
well,
I have to think about the insurance side of things. As far as the plates, you know, I know it's a ripoff. They charge you, goodness, they charge a lot of money these days for the plates. I see mine's coming up. It's a couple hundred bucks. But, you know, look, at right now, my suggestion is to play ball with what you got to play ball with to stay out of jail for a while. But at some point in time, this whole system is going to change, and I don't know how that's going to change, but it's got to change. But bear in mind, you do have to have some kind of a coverage should you injure somebody. Now, it is true the sheriff shouldn't be really too involved in this kind of thing, because that is really code violations, the traffic violations. It has nothing to do with his business. He should leave that up to the police, you know, the city police, village police, town police, and so on and so forth. And all of those are code officers. Now, that doesn't mean what they're doing is lawful, because you can win those arguments in court if you have enough knowledge on how to do it. But it's a battle we're going to have to fight until we get to the other side of things, which is the deep state, and then see how we're going to deal with these problems. You know, remember, motor vehicles has a purpose, and licensing and also plating a vehicle, putting a plate on it, all that has a purpose. But it's all commercial. Now, on the side where you're driving a vehicle that is not a commercial vehicle, we'd have to think a little bit about how that would work. I never really thought that out, the pros and the cons of a plate. I mean, there should be an identification on a vehicle, I would think. I don't have a conclusion on that, on where we need to go, but it's something that we need to brainstorm and think about. What does the people think about this, and how can we go forward with a system that's appropriate for these things? So I don't know. But you do have to be careful, and you are right. But let me give you, you're in Michigan. Do you know Robert with National Liberty
Alliance? No, I don't know Robert.
Okay, if you want, I'll pass your phone number to him, because he's in Michigan, and maybe he can talk to you and help you out with some things, because he's working with sheriffs.
Okay. Okay. Well.
Okay. So, can you get James's phone number here and get it to Robert, and ask Robert if you'd give him a call and talk with him? Or Terry, if Jan's not around. Can you do it, Terry?
Working on it.
Thank you very much. Gerard, are you back yet?
Yeah,
go ahead, James.
You mind if I say something?
It's a question. Give me one minute first, okay? Gerard, are you back yet? Calling Gerard. Right, I guess he's not back yet. Go ahead, James.
Okay. Insurance. You know, you're paying for something that's already paid for, if you look at it from my point of view. You know, I'm sorry, but that Social Security number has got to be used for something.
You're talking about the SESQ accounts?
Pardon me?
You're talking about SESQ accounts?
I would imagine, though I don't know what the term would be.
Okay, in other words, you have a value when you're born. You're chattel, okay, which is livestock. You're given a value, and as you get older and different things happen, your value goes up, and then you can start writing these things against, you can start paying bills through your SESQ account and all that stuff. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
It's a one-way trip guaranteed to jail. You can succeed, and they'll love for you to succeed as much as possible. We know a guy that succeeded a little over $100,000, maybe $150,000 or something like that. 30 days later, they broke down his door, and then he's been hunted out since. I don't know if they ever caught him. Haven't heard from him in a long time. When you get involved, this is a game they're playing, because they're making the money on your body, on your person, on you, okay? And they're going to do the collection on it, and they got a number of ways to do that. You know, these people are just so evil. They've worked out ways to make money on flesh. And it's worse than, I don't know if it's worse than prostitution, but it's up there with that. The SESQ accounts, it's all fiction. Again, it's fraud. You want to call it for what it is. You definitely don't want to participate with that, because if you do, again, you're acknowledging them and empowering them.
Well, then, I got a question. You got to excuse me for one more question here.
Sure.
A draft. I mean, though I've learned somewhat specifically how to draft an account, and from what I understand is that prosecuting attorney is the anchor. He's got the authority of the cash in. Because if I walked up to the window and I said, hey, look, I need to pay this off, and I drafted up, you know, an account, you know, making sure that everything was to the standard of things.
So you're talking, let me see if I understand. You're talking about drafting an account in order to, you know, exercise your SESCU account to use it to pay bills. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the one of the insurance or the one with, you know, because I haven't had a driver's license in over 20 years. And, well, they just keep tacking them on, and I've done serve time. And now, wait, they've made money on my Social Security number, but then what is the purpose for me to be in the prison planet? I mean, because they're just trying to put everybody there, no matter
right.
how.
Right. Well, look at that's the battle. That's what we're here for. Is to battle that. That's what Trump is here for, and a lot of other patriots and different groups are here for, is to battle that. And now that we have a great leader in the White House that is able to really do some real damage to these people, and is intent on taking them down, you know, that's where the battle is. I understand what you're saying. Again, forget the SESCU accounts. It's all fiction. And I will guarantee you this. Okay, I'm guaranteeing you this. If you become successful using that SESCU account, once you start to get some money out of this system, one day your door in the middle of the night is going to be knocked down and they're going to arrest you. Maybe to shoot your dog or injure somebody else, or maybe even go into the wrong house and hurt some people. But that's where it's going to end. But besides that, that's all going to be gone soon. You know, the Federal Reserve is going down. The Treasury Department has taken over the money system, and things are changing. By, I think, next year, you know, Trump spoke today, and one of the things he mentioned, he says, the greater things are yet to come, okay? Now, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but something of that nature. The better or the greater things are just ahead. They're coming. He's taken out the deep state. He's getting rid of the Treasury. He's going to reinstate the authorities properly, and I certainly believe he's going to work to really get the court system straightened out, and even our political process. The people have to take control of this, and he knows that. He knows that. And I don't know of anybody else doing what we're doing. National Liberty Alliance is doing, you know, educating people and looking at all of the things that the people have to do in order to take back the power and the authority, by teaching them, you know, how to become committee men, how to become administrators, how to respond and be a jurist when called for, and looking, you know, even there, what do they give you, $50 a day or $35 a day? That's absurd. Look, if you have to give a person, you're going to take a person away from their word work for a week, you got to give them a decent pay. And we'll take some of the money away from the judges and the prosecutors if we have to pay the jurists, because they should be paid for the week's service or a couple of weeks' service or whatever term period they have to they're asked to serve that for. Look, I strongly suggest not to get involved in it. You're going to hurt yourself. Play the game for a while. Look, I have to do what I got to do, because I don't want to be in jail. I want to be out here working to try to change the system. And but if you have time to go to jail and you don't mind sitting there, that's what's going to happen to you when you exercise these things. And you know, they put you in jail for driving without a license. They'll put you in jail for driving without insurance. But if you've got something else that you can, I forget what you would call it, but certify something in order to put something up should you have an accident, that you have something that you can bank on to, if you're at fault, to pay the damages, that is sufficient and that's acceptable. That you can work out.
Mm-hmm.
But going on the man and the land stuff, and they got us chasing our tails on that. I did that myself. You know, Gerard did that too. We did it at the same time. We went down and we filed our declarations as sovereigns in our counties and did a lot of other stuff. This is when we're really learning all this stuff. But then we came to a better understanding of what's really going on, what the law really is, what power and authorities they do have, and how things should work. And all the fraud has been exposed. It needs to be taken down. We shouldn't be participating with it. We should be taking it down. And that's what we're planning to do. So, all right, we're going to move to our next call. You got a final comment before we move over? And we'll pass your name over to Robert. He'll give you a call, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Okay,
have a nice
thanks.
Evening,
thanks.
Tomorrow, week. Yeah. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Okay, let us go to Julie. That looks like from Montana. Julie, MT, I'm pretty sure that's Montana.
Hello.
How you doing?
This is Julie. I just have wanted to say something about the topic that was just there about the driver's license.
Right.
And I have struggled with driver's license for years, too, and went a long time without one. And what I ended up doing with the help of another person was to get to have them put a explanatory statement in my file when I got the driver's license that's explaining my, you know, that I'm not a 14th Amendment citizen. And
well, remember, you know, they ask the question if you're a citizen of the United States. They don't ask you if you're a 14th Amendment citizen. They ask you if you're a citizen of the United States. I have
right.
No problem. I have no problem saying I am a citizen of the United States. As a matter of fact, in order for a person to become a citizen here in our nation in one of the states, they have to become a U.S. citizen. In other words, they become a citizen and the federal government, we have given the federal government the authority. This is in the Constitution. We've given them the authority to make citizens out of people who want to become citizens. And once they become a citizen, they can live in any state they want. I live in New York. I'm a citizen of New York, but I'm also a U.S. citizen. I can go to Jersey. I can just drive through Jersey. I have all the rights of the people of Jersey, plus my New York rights. I go to Pennsylvania, Ohio. I got all the rights of those people too. I can put up a tent and live there, and I become a citizen of that state just by planting my feet there. Why? Because I am a citizen of the United States, of all the states, ultimately.
They're misusing the term to...
Well, that's what it is. They robbed the meaning of a word, and they're making
right.
it something else. We know that. That we know.
Yeah.
But that's fraud. So
the explanatory statement protects you, I don't know how much, but it protects you somewhat from their...
They don't care about that. It's not going to protect you for nothing. They don't care about that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to beat them in court, you can beat them in court if you learn how to do it. Start taking the courses. Learn the process. Understand the system. See how the system works. And then, you know, we do have an area on traffic that you can look into some paperwork on how to write papers in traffic court. But you have to have the right mindset. You have to understand the law. You have to understand the difference between law and equity. You know, there's state law, there's federal law, and unfortunately there seems to be county law too. And even towns make up their own, things, codes and stuff, and you can be violated there too. You can beat it in court, but you have to know how to do it, number one. And you have to be ready to take it into the federal court for cause if necessary, because a lot of these judges won't hear you. And then you'll have to move it, and you'll have to be able to navigate there, too. And that takes experience. And it doesn't take a lot of experience. Anybody who's really serious about this and really wants to be able to come up on top of this with this stuff, we've already, you know, been through the School of Hard Knocks. We put a lot of information. a lot of papers, a lot of courses, a lot of stuff, education on our website. In 6 months, if someone really wanted to buckle down and really be good at this stuff, you know, it's repetition. You know, you have to get in there and spend a good amount of time. But in 6 months, if you put a good amount of hours in every week, you can get through a lot of stuff. But, you know, we learn through repetition. You know, the more and more we look at something, we go back and review it, and we review it before we know it, it's stuck in our brains and it just falls out of our mouths, you know. Anybody could do this if they want, but they got to put the time in. You could do it taking your time, a couple hours a week here or there, and over a couple of years get all this stuff together, or you could do it in 6 months if you really buckle down and put four to six hours a day, maybe 5 days a week, you know, 20 hours a week to really, you know, press down on the studying.
Mm-hmm.
So, but without that, without the knowledge of the system, the real knowledge of the real system on how things really do work, and some understanding of the fiction, you don't need a lot, but some, in general, without that, you're not going to win in court. Well, you can. Occasionally people do win. You know, just the judge gives up on them, doesn't know how to deal with them or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I was saying was that putting an explanatory statement in your
Why do you need that? You have unalienable rights. You have the right to travel. You have all kinds of rights. You don't need to have them written down. You already know what they are. And you
but
demand.
It's a way to do it so that you can protect yourself somewhat and still get a driver's license and not acknowledge the Social Security, because you got to give them.
As again, but Will was saying, if you put your energy and your time there, it doesn't buy you nothing. It doesn't really empower you. It empowers them. That's all it does. It may get you a free pass here or there for a short period of time, and I say may, okay? Look at this.
Yeah.
A lot of people out of there teaching a lot of BS. I will tell you right now. They're telling you, giving you stories. They're telling you what they did, and they didn't do anything. Most of these people haven't won anything in a court or anything. Maybe a person here or a person there has, and they tell the story and they claim their success, and maybe they do have a success here or there. But all it is empowering the other side. Look, it's fraud. It's fiction. These people need to go to jail, and we intend on putting them there. That's the attitude we have to have. We need to fix this nation and bring back justice.
Right. Yeah.
So, but, you know, the way you're going to go down that, you're wasting your time. I really am trying to save you from wasting your time. Get a real education. Get up here and take our courses. Get involved. Even volunteer, and, you know, and get involved on your grassroots once the grassroots starts moving in your county. And let's really take back this nation. Let's train our sheriffs to be constitutional officers that they're supposed to be. And let's shut down all of these police forces. You know, we don't need city police. We don't need town police. We don't need any of these police. You know, we need the sheriff. You know, there might be something special about. Well, look, the sheriff just needs to be a lot more deputies in a city, obviously, than they do in a town. So they should be able to handle everything. But they and maybe. Maybe code enforcement lawyers are officers are necessary for commercial activity. So maybe the state police has some role, and maybe the city police have some role. But other than that, you know, but they shouldn't be coming out after we the people. All right, anything else before we move on, Julie?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, thank you. We'll take our next person. Gerard, are you back yet? Gerard. Okay, we'll take our next caller. Gerard must have fallen asleep on me. Okay, JoJo, you got the mic.
Hi.
Hi.
Can y'all hear me today? Am I coming through?
You're coming through. Go right ahead.
Hey. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Good, good. I just wanted to ask, I had heard something about Donald Trump wanted to do an executive order, possibly, on the repeal of habeas corpus.
On what?
On the habeas corpus.
I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that. Like what? What details? What case? What are you talking about?
Yeah, he said. He said, right. Help me out here.
At the beginning of the COVID thing.
At the beginning of the COVID thing, he said that there was going to be. And I tried to look up the follow up on it because I haven't heard anything for a second. But he said he was going to dispatch with the habeas corpus. He was not going to let it. He's going to try to, you know, stop any habeas corpus going on.
Well, habeas corpus is a common law process. It's a good thing, so you might have it confused with something else. He just recently did an executive order concerning, the violation of our right of free speech online, really that executive order is really just saying enforce the law that's already there.
Right.
And we happen to be doing a paper at the same time, so we're filing a paper this week on the very same thing.
Is that the case you were talking about, having people show up at?
Yeah, that's going to be, if people are close to Poughkeepsie, New York, is where the case will be heard.
Can you spell that for me? Can you spell Poughkeepsie for me?
Poughkeepsie, Poughkeepsie.
Yeah, I'm not close, but man, I might try to panhandle some money for a bus ticket down there. I'd like to be there if I can.
Well, we'll let everyone know when it's coming. We'll put a lot of word out both on the program here. We'll send out emails to let people know and ask anybody who's close enough that thinks they can come to that should come to that.
Okay.
Use all the support we can on that. We want to have a presence. We might even make badges up so that everybody that comes into the courtroom might have a grand jury badge on, Commonwealth grand jury. We might do something like that. We want to intimidate the judge because that's what it's going to take for him to perform justice, and that's what we have to do.
Well, at the very least, let him know your might.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let him know what your mettle is for sure. And yeah, because I was doing the research on habeas corpus. That's where I'm at in the class on government by consent, passed out at just by two. But yeah, it's one of the only laws in our history that nobody's ever messed with. Like, it's gained strength through the years.
Well, actually, they tried to shut down habeas corpus in 1938. Here in New York, let me think, when was this, 39
Bush,
or 48?
Bush put
think.
A temporary on it.
Well,
Obama put a temporary executive order on it.
Yeah, they've been trying to shut down habeas corpus for a long time. In 1938, there was a big Nazi movement and a lot of things going on, and they tried to get a change in the Constitution. And it turned against them, and it ended up that in the New York Constitution, they added that it will never be, done away with. I forget how they worded it. But the habeas corpus is still there. It's being used to transport prisoners and move prisoners around. They do habeas corpuses. They ignore, they deny habeas corpuses, especially on the federal level. And we do habeas corpuses, and we force them into the court, and we'll push them to the point of indictment if it's necessary to indict the judge, because they have to be obedient to the law. And habeas corpus...
It's got a long history with it, you know? I mean, it's the weapon that we have, but, you know, it could be turned on us, too. You know, and
well, I don't know how it could be turned on us.
Well, the powers to be used it as a weapon to hunt people down for a little while there, like
not habeas corpus.
Yes, sir. Habeas corpus. No, sir. Habeas corpus. Yes, sir. I'm. If you go back into the history, one of the things that happened was the long arm of the law was using it as a roundup tool, basically.
Well,
for a while.
They do that with warrants. They won't need a habeas corpus. They put out a warrant, that's all.
All right.
See, a habeas corpus habeas corpus is a natural law process. The first the first known grand recorded grand jury. I won't say the first known grand jury, because grand juries go back further than this, but the first recorded grand jury, okay, and dealing with language concerning habeas corpus also, I believe it's paragraph 61 of the Magna Carta. It goes back to 1215
right.
A.D., okay?
Right.
And,
1215.
Right, and we brought up habeas corpus in the Constitution under Article 1, I believe it's Section 9 or 10. We also have we codified it in the federal statutes. It's been codified.
Right, when we ratified accepting the Magna Carta.
Yeah, well, and. Probably every state has a statement on the habeas corpus. I know New York does, probably most of them.
Right.
So habeas corpus really is for us. In other words, deliver the body. The sheriff is commanded to deliver the body, and those who are making accusations have to show cause on why this body needs to continue incarceration. Okay, that's what a habeas corpus is. It's a challenge of due process. And when a person is usually doing a habeas corpus, it's because they're not getting due process. And
right.
They're being abused in the court system. But, yeah, they have been ignoring this for a long time.
They, you know, they do. They're quick to push it to the side. But what about the injured party? I mean, yeah, you can use it to the fact that you're in a jurisdiction that you don't need to be. Because I thought the whole deal was it pretty much was turf wars, wasn't it, between the different jurisdictions?
Well, yes, it removes you from whatever jurisdiction you're in and takes you into a common law jurisdiction. Usually, when we do habeas corpuses, usually we're pulling people out of courts, whether they're town courts, city courts, state courts, or whatever kind of court, when we put them into the federal court. And for cause, ultimately, for a habeas corpus.
No, but what I'm talking about is, say you have equity court, you might have a criminal court, and criminal
well,
court...
Well, that's all in fiction. You're talking all fiction now, just so you know.
Old fiction?
All fiction. You're talking about fiction. Criminal courts are fiction, fictional courts.
No, I know. Okay, so that was an instant... in my brain right now. What I'm trying to do is there's two different jurisdictions, and one found out that they have their paycheck. They're holding their paycheck and trying to put them through their court. So habeas corpus was kind of like a turf war between the powers to be.
Well,
you got my paycheck over there. I don't think he's in the right jurisdiction. You're stealing him from me, so...
Well, it is true. You're moving them from one court to another court. That's true,
right.
Because you're moving them out of a civil law court or whatever kind of court they want to call it over
right.
into a common law court, and you have to give this person due process.
And there is a criminal court. What do they call it when you kill somebody? That's criminal.
It's called a court.
When you harm somebody and their property, that's a crime.
It's called a court of record, period. That's the only lawful court in the United States. There are two courts. There are two types of courts. There's lots of administrative courts, okay? We'll lay that aside. People participate in all kinds of things, usually commercial, or even if they're into the political process, an elected individual or something, you know. They've got codes and statutes that they have to...
That's administrative...
conform to, and there are a lot of different administrative courts. But
on
a federal level, let's say, there's 57 federal districts, not 57 federal, 94 federal districts. There's 57 different codes, okay? Each one of those different codes, whether it's one USC 1, USC 2, 3, all the way up to 57, it covers different agencies. And for instance, the president, I think...
Dealing with commerce.
Let me explain. The president, for instance, I think is under USC 3, if I remember correctly. Okay, Congress is under certain statutes, codes, and regulations. Okay,
right. It's Article 24.
Hold on a minute. Hold on. Let me give you the picture of this, and then you can respond back. All of government agencies fall under some code of control, regulations, codes, statutes, and so on. And that includes people who are performing any kind of commercial activities. Usually things, different commercial activities. So right. They fall underneath that. That is called equity, okay? Another name they give it, it's called positive law. And the only equity law that's lawful is one that is operating under lawful authority. And lawful authority comes from the Constitution.
Right.
And the people, which comes from God. Okay, that's lawful authority. And so those statutes are necessary for people who are involved in those different government or commercial activities. Now, then there's law. Law is common law. Whether it's a civil action or a criminal action, common law doesn't see that. It's common law.
Yeah, but they still use the little L for that one. So when you say law with the big one, what they're meaning is positive law.
Well, positive law is equity, which is not, it doesn't apply to the people.
Well, I know that, but they don't.
Natural law is the only thing that applies to the people.
Right, which is the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Right.
Do
so
no harm.
Criminal courts, and even the United States Supreme Court has ruled on this. Criminal courts have no power or authority to fine or incarcerate.
Because they put me in prison for 3 years.
Well, fiction has the authority. They're fictional courts. They're de facto courts. They appear to be the power and the authority, and they're exercising that power and authority, but they're de facto. They're not de jure.
I know that. They have guns and tasers and a lot more of them, too.
And
so
that's
what
we are trying to fix is to squash the fiction and bring back the law. That's what we're trying to do. And that's what Trump is trying to do.
I've been trying to do it for a while, too, but, it's kind of hard to do it alone.
Of course.
When you're one person, I just didn't have this much ammunition. I get what you're saying because I'm kind of like I'm interested in law itself. Even though I can't whoop them like that, I'd like to know what they're doing so when they do mess up, I can at least pull it up on the table.
Well, if you want to take control of your life and be able to defend yourself, you have to become educated. And I say go to our pages here under courses and take our courses. And then once you do that, especially people who really want to get involved here, you need to then go to a further education under our educational tabs, which is an education that you build yourself. We just give all the tools. We have essays and lectures. We have books. We have things on the judicial.
I didn't know that part. I'm almost done with the government by consent course.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost done. I have I'm chapter 9. I think I'm at 15. Chapter 9, 15. There's been a lot of stuff going on with me here and my friend. We've been fighting code enforcement, and there's some tickets that we're dealing with in some different things. Can I just ask you one more thing? So you were talking to dude about the SESTA-K trust.
Right.
And there are other trusts out there, but you teach in your material, you teach about this being a big trust.
We talk about fescue trusts. We explain what it is. We talk about common law trusts.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So
right.
How come you...
But the fescue accounts, the fescue account trusts, they're all fiction. It's unlawful.
Yeah, I'm not really sure about the SESTA-K trust, but I do know if I'm a posterity, wasn't that trust set up for me?
Which trust are you talking about?
I'm talking about...
Well, if you say posterity, so you must be talking about our founding fathers that wrote this for themselves and their posterity, we the people. When we become, mature enough, old enough to be able to participate, we then take control, as our founding fathers did, and we are the people. We're not separated from that. And it's not just for us, but it's for our posterity too.
Okay, so what is for our posterity in us?
The Constitution, the right to self-government.
I thought the Constitution was set up for Congress.
That's the
rope that keeps them reined in.
Yeah, well, the Constitution was written. It gives the power to the three branches of government. Article 1 gives the legislative power.
Article 2
gives the administrative power. And Article 3 gives the judicial power. And then there's Article 4, 5. I think it goes up to 7. But that really generally covers a lot of different things.
It all
is about the government. It's the law that the government must obey. And we give them certain authority to write legislation to govern themselves, in other words, to control themselves, not government.
Yeah,
to some degree, government. Right.
Yeah, because they're over commerce, because people sometimes lose their brain about making money, so they have to have a certain guidelines to them, you know what I mean? So that's where they step in.
They gain that power, yes.
Yeah, and then so, like I'm a sovereign, you know? I never, ever break God's laws, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't. Natural law will not allow you. You step off the top of your roof. You're gonna know exactly the law of gravity. But I don't commit crimes, you know. But
we're all sinners, though.
No, yeah, I'm a murdering, lying thief in my heart. I know that.
Okay.
I know that. I was, but God has made me clean. God has redeemed me. And
okay.
Yeah. And so I've been redeemed, and I have a special purpose because I commune with my God daily. Despite what other people's opinions are of me, I got to do what I got to do through the penal system because it's an experience that helps me to relate and fulfill His work.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely. Education is the key, and also, you know, people should be reading their Bibles, and that'd be very helpful in the law, because a common law comes from there. That's where a common law grows from. But in any event, but just a couple of more minutes or seconds, because we've got other people, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, I got that, but I just had to, okay. Yeah, I just...
Yeah, you can finish, though.
I wanted to say that I am a studious of the Bible. But He said in there, He said, I'm going to send you the teacher, and He'll dwell within your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I never, ever go against the teacher that lives with me, because, you know, our walks are different with God every day. And so
I presume you're talking about the Holy Spirit?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes,
right, sir. I understand that. Okay.
Yeah. I've been trying to get a hold of you guys real quick, and I'm going to let you go. I had some changes done because my tablet fried out, so I have a different email.
All you have to do is go in there, and if you go into nationallibertyalliance.org, and on the top, right under the blue bar, you'll see tech support, my account, unsubscribe,
tech support,
and so on.
Okay.
Log in, log off. Click on my account. And you can change your email in there.
Yeah,
any information, phone numbers, address, anything you want to change, just go in there and you can change
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you guys, you have the information right to be able to take my membership, but I haven't gotten any emails from you because I can't get into that account because it was associated with the tablet that's gone right now. So.
All right, well, if you continue to have problems, you can get a hold of tech support and they'll help you.
Is there a phone number with that?
Well, no, you have to click on tech support. Remember, everybody here is a volunteer, so
right.
You know, we all have our other jobs, although I'm pretty much full-time. There are quite a few people actually full-time, retired and full-time here. But tech support, if you click on that, you fill out a little form, and someone call or someone will get back to you.
That'll work then.
You know what? If you're trying to just change your email, get a hold of Jan. And he'll help you.
Okay,
Jan, you'll find him on the directory. Click on directory, and he's towards the top. He's our national leader. You'll see Jan, and you'll get his phone number there. You can call him up, and I'm sure he'll be more than happy to assist you.
I've been trying to follow these cases that you got going on for that writ of mandamus when they let that cop go, that killed that one guy.
Right, and that has not died yet. We indicted that guy. It's in our files.
Okay, can you keep us updated somehow? Because
when we get to the other side, that's when these things will have some power. Until then,
okay, cool.
You know, we have to get past the deep state once they go out. The deep state is really deep.
It is. No, they've been doing this from day one.
Uh-huh.
They hardly let anything get cool before they started rooting in and making it work for them.
Even the president said that he never thought it was as deep as it is. It's very deep.
It
goes around the whole world.
Do you know the clause necessary and proper?
I'm sorry?
Do you know the term necessary and proper?
Well, I'm familiar with the term, but where are you going with it?
Yeah, it basically gives a go-ahead for anything. That's why we have the police, courts, and everything. When Congress says it's necessary and proper, that means they circumvent everything and everybody, and they just go ahead and do what they do. But they do it under the guise.
Yeah, obviously they're not fulfilling the true words of necessary and proper.
No, they're not. But you know what? They didn't have a definition of it. It wasn't until I have the notes over there, but they couldn't get the definition of proper, what it meant by proper. Okay, we all kind of know what necessary is, but if you have a chance to look into that, it's quite interesting. It's quite interesting. Necessary and proper.
All right, I'll take a look. Yeah. Right, we've got to move to our next caller because it's getting late and we want to get
everybody. God bless you guys. God bless.
Thank you.
God bless.
All right, Georgia.
God bless. Thank you. Thank you.
Gerard, if you're there and you want to take the controls, let me know. We'll take our next caller meanwhile. Let's go to Kevin. You got the mic, Kevin. Hey, did Brent ever get in yet? Anybody see Brent? I guess not. Kevin, you got the mic. Kevin? Kevin, you got the mic.
Yeah, disregard that. Disregard.
Okay, you want me to move to the next caller?
Yes, just disregard. Sorry.
Okay, all right. Let's go to David from North Carolina. You got the mic, David.
Okay, I wanted to talk to you just a little bit about the handbook you were talking about earlier that you pasted the last page in it. Is that the handbook we need to study before we go talk to our sheriff?
Well, we do have we do have handbooks you can download. It's a lot of the same stuff. I got to go back and look. Let me take a quick look right now. If you go up to oh, goodness, it should be on our front page, I think. Hold on a minute. Let me go to the front page. I think that's where it's at. Well, definitely on the sheriff's page. There is a common law book on the sheriff's page. So let me go to the sheriff's page. Under people's duty, come down to the county sheriff. Okay. And there is a download a copy of the sheriff's handbook. And that's a lot pretty much like the common law book. Okay. The book that we have, hang on a minute. Yeah, the booklet that we're talking about is called The Common Law Handbook for Jurors, Sheriffs, Bailiffs, and Justices. Okay? If you're looking at the browser right now, this is the County Sheriff's Handbook, which we were going to make a handbook of and give it to the sheriffs. And yeah, this will give a lot of information. But, you know, again, if you're well organized in your county and you want to go talk to your sheriff and you think you're ready to do it, that's one thing. But if you're not organized yet, you need to get organized. And we have a lot of information on organizing your county, how to organize your county. If you go into People's Duty, the first page talks about organizing your county. And when you click on that...
Tell me one more time. I've copied the big 100 and some pages of the sheriff's duties. I forget now the title of it, but it
84
very
pages of County Sheriff's Handbook.
I have copied that. There's a lot of pages of it, but it's good information. However, you were speaking earlier about a book a handbook that you have that would also be good to discuss with the sheriff. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. And that handbook, if you're watching the browser, I'm scrolling to it right now. It's on the right-hand side of our website on every page, and it's called Common Law Handbook. You can see it if you're looking at the browser now.
All right. Okay. Now let me ask you
now,
this.
We don't have it.
How much is they a piece? How much do they cost a piece?
We don't have any more left. I got a couple of hundred left that I'm saving for sheriffs, or meetings with sheriffs. So we don't really have any more left. I mean, we were selling them pretty cheap in boxes of 100, and we were selling them by the 100, 200, 250, and 500. And we were given very good prices for them because when you buy large quantities, you can sell them pretty cheap. And I forget what we're selling them for. I forget. I'll have to go review. We haven't been selling them for a while because we've ran out of them. Like I said, I saved a couple of boxes for the future, and right now I'm giving them out to sheriffs. Hold on a minute. Anybody in any state that is connected with a sheriff that happens to be the organizer, maybe a president of the Americans of the Sheriff's Association for the state or something like that. And if that sheriff is a constitutional guy and you know that he's a constitutional guy and you can get a few people to go talk to him and we can get them information so the next time the sheriffs meet, we can get copies of the handbooks to those sheriffs. But we're not going to just send them out to any sheriff, only under certain situations, because we don't want to waste them. We don't have that many. We want to make sure they're going to be used. Well, we do have a plan on how to approach the sheriff. We're writing it up, and part of the thing is to organize to be at least 6 to 12 people organized moving forward, having meetings, number one. You need to do resolutions, set up your county and everything, get some resolutions going. Everything is underneath people's duty. All of these things is what people should be consuming this information and exercising it on their county level. They should be working on the militia on the county level. They should be, and that's both the organized and the unorganized militia. They need to be working on the committeeman process to take back the political process. They need to be working with administrators for the court system to take the court system back. And so we've got a lot of things that we're teaching people. And all that information is right here under people's duty. So people need to
Right now, education is the most important thing as far as I'm concerned, because trying to go in their courts now and mess with them is just wasted time.
Well, that's true. If you can't take control of the narrative in the court, you're going to lose. That includes the judge, because the first – look at – we've been at this for over 10 years. I'm trying to think how long, 10, 11 years. We've been at this for a while. And we learned quite quickly that whenever you go to court, the first person you got to deal with and try to you know, back off is the judge. The judge is your biggest enemy. And they always stick their fingers and their toes into things to shut you down all the time. You have to deal with that judge first of all. You know, you have to try it in a very polite, nice way because you don't want to go to jail. But you have to kind of put them in their place. Tell them maybe you need to recuse yourself because of this, that, and the other thing. And then you have to follow up on it because he's going to ignore you. You got to do something to shake his tree a little bit, you know. So you need to know what to do, which really is really moving into federal court. Okay, and then you have to deal with that judge.
That sounds good. I like that idea, and I want to talk to you on the telephone about that sometime this week, if possible, if you have the time.
Well, right now I'm super busy, but maybe we can get some conversation.
Okay, all right. And now one more thing: is there any of these books that you recommend? Are they available on the NationalLibertyAlliance.org?
Well, the handbook for the sheriff, the 84 pages or 89 pages, let me see, it's 84 pages.
I got that.
You can download that. That's PDF, okay? You can go The common law handbook is, let me see if we have that available for a download. Let's see. Click here, the PDF final. Let me open that up. Okay, common law handbook. Okay, this you can download the common law handbook here. Okay, that's 29 pages. You'll find that by just clicking the handbook on the right-hand side of our website. Let me go back down and
okay.
Anybody watching the browser can see where I'm going. On the right-hand side, this is on every page, is the common law handbook. If you click on that, okay, which I'll click on it again, it's going to come back to this page. Talks about the juris handbooks. It says, sorry, we're out of stock. Come back soon for it. But meanwhile, you can click to view and download the grand jury handbook final. Now, you know what? I need to add a page in here. I'm going to try to do that this week. I'm glad I'm looking at this because this is a place where I have it. And you can see we were selling 100 handbooks for 68 cents a piece. So 68 bucks is what we're selling them for.
The little citizen rule books are nice. They're about a dollar a piece.
Yeah, yeah. And then the other thing is another book you can get, the militia handbook right here. This was done by Brent Allen Winters. You can click on that, and I think it's $5 or $10, whatever it is that he's selling it for. You can go to his website by clicking on that. So if you clicked on that, you'll find yourself at Brent's website, which is commonlawyer.com, and here's where you can get it. Okay?
Okay.
Now, let's see. You know, a good education, especially anybody in the courts that's fighting in the courts now, and you know a little bit about how things work, and you need some ammunition. These two books surely will give it to you. There's no doubt about it. But what you want to do is go up to our grand jury tab, highlight grand jury, come to action against the judiciary, and these are all the papers that we filed in the federal court on this case alone. And each one of these papers have power and authority. You know, you can strip out all kinds of information. You can say, oh, this will work for my case. So there's lots of stuff in here to work on cases, you know, your cases. So a lot of
that
stuff.
That sounds good. That's what we're looking for.
And we also have other things. We have the education. We have court forms, process, and instructions. Okay. I think to get to this page, you have to be a premier member. A premier member, for anybody who doesn't know, is someone who's given us $5 a month or more donation, and they have access to this, and then they have access to the government by consent course. But everything else other than that, you don't need to be a premier member to get to. But right here, we got a lot of stuff here. We have instructions and forms on challenging jurisdictions. We have instructions and forms moving your case for cause into the federal courts, instructions and forms to file a habeas corpus, moving your court for enforcement, notice and demands, and different downloads on the common law, you know, maxims, and of course the dictionaries we use, Black's Law and Bouvier's. We have memorandums that'll give you a lot of help. A memorandum on a court of record, a memorandum on jurisdiction under natural law. A memorandum on our founding fathers' concerns about the judiciary. I mean, we got so much stuff here that people can use for their cases if they know how things work. And let me tell you something: when you go in a court, if you're on the offensive, okay, and you are controlling the narrative, then you are controlling the court. But if the other side or the judge is controlling the narrative, and you're on the defensive, you're losing, okay? You have to always turn things around and take control of the narrative and also put them on the defensive side of things. And that's done by knowledge, and this is a lot of information to help you do that.
Well said.
We also have some very strong landmark Supreme Court cases. Marbury versus Madison is extremely powerful, very important.
Oh, yeah.
The first decision of the United States Supreme Court, Miranda versus Arizona. And for us, you know, U.S. versus Williams, extremely powerful, those three cases.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
All right. Thank you very much. I'll be in touch with Jan.
Thank you. Okay, we'll
You're
take
welcome.
Our next caller. Gerard, you here? Barbara, you got the mic.
Hi, this is Barbara from New York. How are you?
How you doing?
I'm good. I wanted to ask about the government by consent course. On January, you guys downloaded, you downloaded the rest of the course, and I got a lot more, but I got study materials through Chapter 10 on the right, but it only went through, only study materials with quizzes and stuff on the right, but on the left there's a syllabus that goes through Chapter 15. So I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do about Chapters 11 to 15.
You can't get through 11 to 15? Is that what you're saying?
Well, 11 to 15 is listed in a syllabus on the left, and it describes them and what's in them. But on the right, where there's study materials that you click on, you read the material, and then you do a quiz,
right.
I only have that through 10, Chapter 10.
Okay. What you're going to want to do is get in touch with
Car-
tech support. Okay. We do have, I don't know if Catherine, we had a woman, Catherine, that's been helping out a lot on that. I'm trying to think where her information, Jan, are you here? Is Catherine still working with us on this, or is, well, who's handling problems with the course?
It said to email Carl, but he didn't email me back, so maybe he's not working on it.
Well, Carl's really busy, and he volunteers.
Okay.
And he runs a business. He's a tech
person.
He has his own business. But, you know, he will eventually help you and get you through things or pass you to someone else. But we did have someone handling this stuff, and I don't know if she's still handling it. She's doing a real good job. For years she was handling it. But,
I should have material and quizzes all the way through 15, you're saying?
Absolutely, yes.
It stops at 10 for me.
Yeah, I don't know why. So, yeah, talk to Carl. You left a message with Carl?
I left a message with Carl.
Okay. And did he get back to you at all, say to get back to you soon or anything?
No, I haven't gotten an email back. It was like 3 or 4 days ago, so it's pretty early.
All right, we'll give it another day or two to maybe drop him another line and see what happens. But someone will get back to you. Terry, do you know if anybody, who else is handling it other than Carl?
I can do certain things, but not very much.
Yeah, not what she's looking to need.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's going to have to be Carl on that one. So. And Carl's listening in on tonight's program, so
okay.
Another day or two, right?
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Okay, let us take our next caller. Dan from the Carolinas, you got the mic. Anybody wants to get into the queue, star 6. We only have one other person left, star 6, to get into the queue. Yeah,
Mr.
Dan.
John?
Yeah, Dan, how you doing?
Oh, fine, sir. You and the rest are. Last week, I don't know, again, there was a problem with that queue. And at the end, I don't know what it did this, but it's done it several different times. And Jan is aware of this, but I didn't get to there at the end of the program to make a comment or express a question. And sometimes in the past, while Mr. Brent would be, making his presentation, there would come a voice over during the same time and saying, "You may now ask your question." Referring to me, and that part, I wouldn't dare go and interrupt Mr. Brent while he was talking. And so when it came time, I got knocked out of the queue for that way. Are you aware of this? Hello? Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was talking. I had myself muted. Yeah, we're aware of some of these problems, and tonight we had a problem, and seems like every Monday night there seems to be a problem. We're going to, Terry, maybe you, I don't know if Jan's here, because, Jan, are you
here?
Yeah, I'm here. Jan and Terry and me and anyone else that you can think of, we should get together and call these people up, for, what is it called, the start meeting? and go through with them with all our problems and when they're going to deal with them, because a lot of problems with this platform lately.
Well, you know? Excuse me, Mr. John, but we've got limited time, and I must tell you, kind of in a sad way, I don't know, it was a lack of mindset. None of us with calling in or otherwise mention, you know, last Monday night was our Memorial Day recognition to the world and all of America. And we failed to do any kind of acknowledgement on this. And I know it was just we got due diligence or busy, and it was a good call other than that, but that's what I was going to bring up. And so I don't want that to go, you know, lacking, that we still need to be thinking our July the 4th is coming up very soon, and we should think in terms of, you know, the price that our former Americans and still present Americans, as far as that goes, you know, serve our you know, country, and what the price they have paid for this company to be the greatest nation, and especially the liberties that we all experience. And so I guess I had to say that tonight.
All right. Well, I guess we all failed to recognize that we should have acknowledged something, and we'll keep try to keep our mindset on that kind of thing, depending on the time of the year.
Well, no doubt about it. Still, again, you guys were, and it was a great call still, absent of that, and you guys were very busy, and some great information was called in and discussed. Mm-hmm. With all that said, I'd like maybe, and I don't know whether Mr. Brent's online tonight or not.
Yeah, I haven't seen him. We've been looking for him. I don't see him, so I don't think
he's
here tonight.
I know this is going to come about at some point. With me and our estate and many others on the line here. I heard a lady just talked about a homestead trust or a common law trust, and we've had some information in the past. Yet I want to move on to something in that area, and, you know, at some point we may not have time tonight to go into it and give you guys fair warning or advance to prepare on a U.S. land patent that probably could have some merit of families providing that our present the United States gets in. I got a good feeling that these land patents and homestead, common law homesteads, could have some teeth eventually.
Once we get to the other side, we'll make sure that happens.
Sure.
Absolutely. It's up to
Surely.
We the people to make sure it happens. And we can't
Absolutely.
Do anything until we're empowered. And once we get on the other side of things and we get empowered and the people step up, they get educated, they take the positions of power, and we have government by consent, then we can start dealing with those problems. No doubt, you know, when people purchase land, they own it. That's it. And the Homestead Acts and everything, yeah.
With that said, I'm trying to be conservative here. Thank you, too, for your comment. There is something that I know in law could be interesting to a lot of people and could be a remedy. And one thing would be, when you guys get time, I'd like for you guys to have a chance to give us a rendition of how to acquire a commercial lien, and what would be the people to be worthy of gaining this, and then more particularly under what would be the law, which is for holders in law or due course of law, where you would have that as a remedy, and would then, in my case, I'm desiring to those people that being experienced, they don't realize it, but an abstract and title, I'm trying to let all my people know on this particular standalone property that I would like to come to their aid and clear up their deeds, and they need to work with me and our attorneys So in bringing this up, they could end up where they've had homes built and all this on an island of property. I'm talking about right side in the Atlantic Ocean, and very valuable property that they can once and for all end up with taking away the inferior parts that I know as the title and giving them correct title. And the only way I know how to do this is to bring the whole tract that belonged to my grandfather into holders of due course of law and then deal with what I think is the real culprit, my brother, and I won't call his name on this air, and of this conference, that I believe that individual is going to have to make good what my father himself came to aid of all his brothers and sisters and paid two mortgages off that was made against this. It's a large tract on an island, and which was made by my grandfather. And so I'd like for you guys, I know this was kind of lengthy, but I'd like for you guys at some point, maybe not tonight, maybe tell me what you think of some suggestions that we need to use to perfect the holders in law or holders in due course of law. And also I want to mention just this, that hopefully maybe you'll have a chance next time to talk on forged deeds. I didn't know the difference until tonight versus fraudulent deed or purported deed. And according, I'll just close with this right here. According to what I found out tonight in Texas, of course, I'm in the state of North Carolina, but a forged deed can be absolutely at any time set aside. And whereas you've got a purported fraudulent deed, maybe not so. And that the people, I want the people to be aware tonight that you need to get on top of things. Because if you are in the state of Texas, a fraudulent deed, however, it's not it's damaging to you as the real owner that someone third party put on there, not showing you as the actual owner of title, you're in jeopardy. And so that's why I wanted to bring this up. You need to go.
Are you talking about the verbiage in the deeds that call the people tenants?
I'm talking about where someone in an estate, and let me make it as simple as I know how, like my brother did, and fabricated a fraudulent POA on my mother, and at the time she had dementia and he knew it, so that makes this a fraudulent forged instrument anyway, because the instrument my mother was not aware. So the next thing is the document, and so the next thing is my brother places third parties unbeknown to me or our estate attorney or anybody for that matter, especially me, an heir, that he's put this third party on this property, which has screwed up the title. And
I think that's something that needs to be, once we get on the other side again, you're not going to get this fixed here. But that's something that once we get on the other side, you need to get into a court of justice and deal with it there. But as far as getting into details on deeds and things of that nature, maybe when Brent's on, you'll talk to him about it.
Sure.
I have limited knowledge on that stuff.
All right. If you look, I sent something to Jan so we can respect other people here. Some very serious legal definitions.
So go ahead.
Yep. Legal definitions, and it will discuss several different areas, and I'm sure if Jan can and you can and Brent can look over some of these, you'll get the idea. I think a remedy for me could be a procedure for how to file.
How many pages is it?
It wouldn't be more than a serious affidavit because of the pages of the there's only one deed, basically one deed particularly, that my brother put to a third party. And you won't believe this in closing, about 10, 20 seconds here. There was a deed of trust and a promissory note of, and I'll quote the figure, I don't mind, $35,000.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on a minute. Let me unmute him. That was Dan. Yeah, I unmuted. Brent is in here, so he's been unmuted too. But
very good.
Finish
this
up, and Brent can maybe respond a bit to you.
Real quickly, there was a $35,000 promissory note, Mr. Brent, Mr. John, and Gerard, and Jan, and whoever.
Yeah, make it kind of quick, because we don't have much time, and we've got more people in the queue.
And the $35,000 note was even formed, were collateralizing the property, my mother's homestead in Brunswick County in the state of North Carolina, and the county attorneys had collateralized the property, and of course I was the only person on the collateralization to make to pay the loan.
Hey,
and
Dan, why don't we pick this up next week, because we only got 11
okay.
minutes and we got like six people still in the queue. Okay.
But
it sounds
anyway.
Like something that we've got to spend a little time thinking and talking about.
Okay, that's fine. I think that's a good idea. Thanks,
okay.
Good idea.
All right, Brent, it's kind of late. You got anything you want to pipe in on, or you want me to leave you unmuted so that you can respond to some of the questions too, if you want?
Well, if I can be heard, am I heard?
You're being heard. Yes, you are.
Oh, good. Then I think there probably is the roar of wheels. I'm headed down the highway. I'm in the Midwest, in the West Midwest, and I can testify that the country is up and running, and also that the rural areas of America are armed and peaceful as always, unlike apparently the cities. And an armed society is a polite society. I see it again. All of these destructive events, these evolutions that occurred in 38 cities now, were planned by the useful myrmidons and the brainless lackeys of the evil empire. We've seen all this before.
Is it that many cities? 37 cities are involved here?
My reading tells me 38 were planned.
38.
To be destroyed.
Wow, I didn't think there was that many. I thought there was 20.
Well,
and but go ahead.
I only know what I read, John. So
I hear you.
yeah, you know how like Will Rogers used to say, I only know what I read in the papers, but there is some truth in what you read. Then
right.
Down and say this was all spontaneous, hogwash. I'm old enough, as many of the people listening tonight are, old enough to remember the riots of the 60s and 70s, early 70s, and how the college and university campuses were being burned down. For those of you that are younger, we tend to forget. We've seen all this before, and now we know. Now we know that all of that was planned to the IT. And those that plan such things have done this to the IT even more. Don't be fooled. Don't pay them mind. The difference this time, different kinds of people from all different kinds of ethnic backgrounds are clean. That didn't happen back in the late 60s.
You know, I'm wondering if most of these people aren't the people that we heard about when Obama became president in his first term, and he was training people, and he talked about creating a civilian army just as powerful, just as armed or whatever word to use, as the military and so on. And I'm wondering if these are these people that have grown up, that have been brainwashed in this process.
Well, I'm sure a lot of them, well, they're protégés of Barack Hussein Obama, the Arab man, and he was trained that way. It's all a matter of the old idea of subversion and confusion and violence and espionage and it's nothing new. This is the law of the city. This is how Rome conquered the Mediterranean world. They would press upon a city-state on their frontier. They would send subversives in to create discontent. And then they would apply, they'd send other subversives in to apply a little military leverage and say, hey, the hand inside the black glove, hey, we can stop all this. We have enough power with our legions to bring order here. You see, you've got some kind of a domestic disturbance going on, and there's a lot of agitation here. We can bring order here. Don't be scared. Well, that's what's happening right now. It's an attempt to create disorder, create fear, and all the snowflakes are trembling in their tennis shoes. One of the good things that's happened from all of this is that they have released felons back into society. And it hasn't really changed things any. It never would have. They never should have been sent to jail in the first place. And we should all be armed. And the rapers and the robbers should be afraid. And that's what it needs to be. Sending people to jail just makes things worse. There are other ways to deal with crime. And the Quakers' idea of penitentiaries and places of penance, correctional facilities, to use the modern language, is a damnable lie. It doesn't happen. It doesn't work. It never has worked. America jails more people per capita than any country on the faces of our earth today, including communist China. That's significant. And we're jailing people for nothing. And even if we're jailing true criminals, we shouldn't be doing that. We should be doing something else. This doesn't work. Well, we're releasing people now. Let's take it upon ourselves to protect ourselves. I've been in places just within the last day or two that are obscure and out of the way. And the stop at the gas station and fill up your gas tank, and the folk at the gas station tell me that when this whole mess started 3 months ago, in front of their gas station, which before didn't have anybody on it hardly, was hot with cars and motorcycles and folk getting out of Dodge and heading for the hills. Well, that's a good thing, too. Let's all get out of Dodge and head for the hills. Think about getting out of the manure pit you're in if you're in a city. It won't work either. It'll stifle your personality. It'll make a machine out of you. That's not the way God made us to be. So there are good things that happen. Only God can make a straight lick with a crooked stick. And there are good things that happen when men intend evil against us. Let me say frankly and forthrightly, this whole affair of Covine and the virus is an absolute silly, childish hoax. I'm shocked that Americans have put their brains in a 5-gallon bucket and fired a 45 slug into it and have given up their own brains for the likes of twerps like Bill Gates and some of these whatever they are. I can't even tell what kind of creatures they are, telling us that we should be scared of this whole thing. I just went to 2 restaurants for the first time in 3 months, restaurants I like to go to, and I really enjoyed myself, had a good meal, both tonight and last night, because I'm traveling. The restaurants are open, but all of the employees are wearing masks. I laughed at them. I laughed at the manager. I said, what are you fellas doing? I don't have a mask on. Nobody in the restaurant has a mask on. And you fellows all act like you're the Lone Ranger. What's going on here? I said, this isn't real. You know this isn't real. This is just corporate, isn't it? He said, no, I think it's real. Well, then my blood came up in my face, and I restrained myself. But that kind of stupidity makes a man, ought to make a man mad, ought to make him real mad. Well, I did tell him that he's been bamboozled and he ought to look around and smell the coffee. There have been 2 people that have told me they believe this was true. And in both instances, when I challenged them, they said, no, my stepfather or my other relative is in the hospital with this. Well, what do you say to somebody like that? I got relatives in the hospital, too. But a lot of people go to the hospital. They don't go because of whatever this fake this big pandemic is about. No, people die every day, all day. The hospitals are empty, for crying out loud. They blame near shut the things down. They have, by the way, shut down our courts. I'll end with this, and thank you, John, for allowing me to say a few words, and because I'm speaking in such forthright terms, I should say that my opinions are my own, and maybe the opinions of the leaders of NLA, and may not be, but they're always so kind to let me say my piece, as we used to do when we were kids, say our piece. Well, I'm saying my piece. God help us that we'll get over this, and we'll spit back in their faces and say, we've learned our lesson. You're not going to do this again. Oh, one more thing, John. It's apparent to all of the rest of the world. I have friends in Canada. It's certainly apparent to them that the target of this worldwide hoax is the United States of America. We are the target of this childish, foolish madness, this inculcation of fear. Don't fall for it. There's nothing to be afraid of. Life is just as tough as it was before, but this so-called pandemic is a plandemic and a scamdemic. Well, this is Brent Allen Winters. I should say this. CommonLawyer.com. www.commonlawyer.com. And you can read about me on the website. I was going to talk a little bit about allodial title, John, but it seemed to come
up. Yeah,
maybe
next week.
Back to you.
We're coming to the
okay.
end.
Okay. Let's get on with business, and thank you, John.
Okay, well, thank you for those thoughts, and yeah, we're pretty much in agreement with you on pretty much everything you had to say there. So, but you know what? All of these are prerequisites for the awakening. You know, a lot of people have not been woken up yet, and this is what's going to be required. And even being made fools out of, or feeling like you made a fool out of at some point in time, may be necessary, of course, when they find the truth out. And that'll make people more angrier. And hopefully we'll get up and do something and educate themselves and take back their nation, because that's what's required in order to end all of this craziness. So, okay, Steve from Georgia, I think it is. You got the mic. Go right ahead, Steve.
Well, hello. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. Brent, I'm going to leave you unmuted in case you want to pipe in on anything. But go ahead, Steve.
Thank
you. Got
you.
It. We'll make it a little short because we're running over time. We do have a couple of people. We'll try to get a few more people in. But go ahead.
I know. Absolutely. Thank you. Really what I wanted to know briefly, holding these lower court judges accountable for what they've done, unjustly to a lot of people, myself, particularly in my case with the child support. I am a student of the statutes and provisions, you know, which we all know in every state they're the same and enforced the same. They was basically, so they, the court system in Georgia has really destroyed my life for about the last 11 years. My argument is not paying or taking care of my children. I always have. It's the enforcement I have an issue with, and it's the it's the lower courts. Obviously, I was put in incarceration for almost a year for literally underpayment of child support arrears. I was forced to be subservient, and I've lost everything, and I've lost it more than once. So really my question is just, and we can talk about this next week. I just thank you for letting me express it. But as much as I've lost and I'm still fighting back, I put out all these very strong constitutional paperwork to them, and they laughed at me and threw it right back at me and incarcerated me twice. But is there any can these judges be indicted, or can we do indictment for compensatory damages for what they've done?
Well, you know what? Again, as I mention all the time, until we get to the other side, we're not going to be able to solve that problem. And in order to get justice and restored, you know, again, it's going to take to get to the other side of things. You know, people can move this into federal court for cause because you're not getting due process. Here in New York, and I'm sure it's probably the same in all states, or most states anyway, shall I say, family courts are courts of record. And courts of record, as I mentioned earlier, I don't know if you were on earlier when we talked a little bit about this, courts of record are courts that run by the people, that the tribunal is the people. So if a family court is a court of record, we don't need a judge or some individual that is a political animal elected or appointed or whatever working for the government there. We need the people in there, which means real, regular people trained and there for the purpose of solving family problems, not creating them, because they're destructive. In my opinion, the family court is the most evil, destructive court we have in our nation. That's my strong opinion. I believe that because they destroy families, they destroy hope of people, the children. They psychologically damage our children and injure the family forever. There's so much damage being done. It's so evil, and it's all about money. Nothing but money. That's what it's all about.
Well, John,
on steroids.
That's true. I've lost a lot. A lot of finances, material things. Most importantly, I've lost my specialties daughter, and that's another.
Yeah, these people are insane. They are totally insane. But if you want, why don't you bring it back up next week because we're beyond our time, and I got a couple more people I want to try to get to.
All right.
All right. Well, we appreciate the call, and you know, we'll keep you in prayers for your problems, and maybe we could talk some more next week on that.
Thanks.
Okay.
I'll bring it back. I'll unmute.
Thank you. Let's see. Is this the next one? Is Miriam, I believe. You got the mic. Go right ahead. We're going to try to keep it short because we're running real late.
Oh, okay. All right. Hi. You had mentioned there was a place on your website with traffic information.
Yes.
Where is that at, please?
I believe that's on the page one right now, which, let's see. Where was that? That should be under education, court forms, process, and instructions. I think we have something on traffic on this page. Let's see. Challenging jurisdictions, habeas corpus.
Where's challenging jurisdiction? I didn't see that. Where are you at?
If you go to education, highlight education.
Okay.
And then you come down to court forms and process instructions. You click on that. You might find it here. And if it's not here, I do know we have it up on the website. And if it's not here, you know, maybe I should move it to this page. Let me just quickly take a quick look. The show cause is here, challenging jurisdiction, moving your case to the federal court for cause, filing a habeas corpus.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
All I have is founding documents, essays, political books, and judicial.
Yeah, well, yeah, you have to be a premium member for this page. There are a couple of things on our site that you need to be a premium member to get to. This is one of them. And the other one, of course, is the course for government by consent. Our civics course is free. Our militia course is free. But our government by consent. Now, to be a premium member, only we ask for $5 a month donation or more, and that makes you a premium member. So it's not expensive or anything, but it's the way we keep the lights on, you know.
Oh, okay. So after I send that in through PayPal.
We don't do PayPal anymore. If you have PayPal credit card, you can use that. But you can do a donation on PayPal, but you can't become a premium member through that process because PayPal is problematic with this. It's a problem.
I want a 4-month membership. I can send you $20, right?
Well, yeah, if you want to just send $5 a month or $20 every couple of months, whatever you want to do, that's fine. Just call Jan, let them know you're going to do it, and we'll trust that you do it. You know?
$100 one time, and I'd like that to cover me for the 4 months.
You're under honor. You know, whatever you want, you're under honor. But, you know, you're going to need a lot more than 4 months to go through all this stuff, you know. The course is going to take some time, and but whatever, you know, look at you, you know, just do what your heart tells you to do. Call Jan, let him know, and he'll flip the switch for you, and just send us a donation, $5 here, $10, whatever you want to do.
Okay, and call who?
Jan, J-A-N. You'll find him under the directory. Click on directory, okay, and you'll see his name. He's the national leader here, national director, Jan, and there's his phone number right there. You can give him a call.
Site contact?
Huh?
Is it under site contact? Because it's not under, you know, directory.
Just click directory. Click directory right on top. That's all you need. And come down. He's right on the top. Okay?
Okay, now, let me just ask. Yeah, this is my question. Let's see if you can help me. The driver situation in New York, as you know, is pretty bad. They're just suspending licenses. They came up with a new law in 2013, Motor Vehicle Law 171, and they can allege you owe a tax debt and just suspend your license.
Yeah, that's a game they're playing. Again, it's a problem. I don't think the problem's going to be around very long, though, because, again, you know, things are shutting down on the IRS and all that stuff. Probably by next year.
It's not the IRS. It's the New York State tax people, and it's been around for 7 years.
Well, you know, again, you know, the states rely on the federal government for the actual collection process, and then it's given back into the states and all that stuff. But, yeah, I guess, look, they don't stop. They're all about money, and they're filling their pockets up, and that's that. And we need to put them all in jail.
I have a question, though. I did go and challenge the tax debt at the tax tribunal. I got the matter dismissed. And during that procedure, I asked for the authority they used to suspend the license, and they gave me a tax warrant with no signature. So between the tax... A tax warrant. They said this was the authority used to suspend the license.
And there was no signature on the warrant.
I said, my God, this just doesn't stop.
Well, look, when you get to the other side of things, you can sue them. You're not going to get justice in these courts. They all back each other up. I mean, if you were still stuck in the system, I would say that you'd have the only way you're going to beat them is to move it into federal court for cause, because an administrative court, which is what they would be, doesn't have that kind of power and authority. That's assault and denial people of the right to travel. It's bad enough they license you traveling. Now they're going to deny your right to travel altogether? I mean, they just don't stop.
Millions of people in New York, and I feel sorry. I saw they're using some of these agencies to help people, and they're losing the cases. Most of the cases, you know, were dismissed. They didn't even come as far as I did. But let me just say what happened. So I got the tax allegations thrown out. They didn't even have an affidavit, okay? They didn't have an affidavit. They didn't have tax assessments. They had nothing. And they restored my license, and 6 months later they put the... What would you do?
6 months later they what?
They put the suspension back.
They put the suspension back.
Right.
Well, look at what I would do is I'd sue him. You know, look, the problem is, here's the problem. If you sue him in state court, I've seen this before. You go into these state courts and they say, oh, that's administrative. You got to go through the system, through the process first. And they pull this municipality law stuff on you. We've battled that out and actually won it, and they backed off pretty quickly on us a while ago in some other cases that we've had. But again, I think they backed off because they realized that, you know, we knew a little more than they thought we should know. But we were still young back then doing that, as far as in knowledge, young in knowledge, back then in those days. But look, what you need to do is, and everybody needs to do, when a child comes out of school, when they finish their education, you know, the 8 years of education and 4 years of secondary education, 12 years is a lot of time for an education. And when you finish that, you should be able to represent yourself in the court. You should understand our system, our political system, our judicial system. You should understand how everything works. You should know the difference between law and equity. You should know the Constitution. You should know your unalienable rights. You should know about the committee man. I mean, all of these things people should know, but they don't. People don't know any of it. Because you got to keep the slaves ignorant. Because if the slaves become knowledgeable of these things, they're going to rebel. You know, so you got to keep them divided. You got to keep them ignorant, and that's what they've been doing. Well, it's time to rise up, because it's time to take this nation back. We got the opportunity, a window of opportunity, the first window of opportunity in my lifetime that I have seen that actually things could be turned back around. We could turn the clock back, and we can get this nation back on track. And correct the problems that we've had. But that requires people to put their time into things. You got to become educated. So if you want to go defend yourself, I would move this into federal court. But you have to understand how the system works. You have to understand how to move it into federal court. You have to understand the federal court. And you have to be able to control the narrative in the federal court. If you're not confident in those things, then you should not be going into federal court. Now, you could file papers through us, and we can file papers on your behalf, an amicus curiae, and then at some point in time, when they deny answering that, we eventually move it into the federal court for you, for cause, which we move it into our case. You may or may not get justice now, but at least at a later point in time, you will get justice when justice returns. But justice will never return if the people do not educate themselves and take these positions in order to bring justice back into our courts and therefore into our government and therefore into our entire nation.
Well, let me move a state issue into the federal court. Under what ground would you have standing?
Denial of due process. They're trying to make their a de facto court, okay, and they're applying penalties against you, they're injuring you, and they're doing this in the name of justice, and they don't have justice, they don't have the authority, they don't have the power, they don't have the court, they're administrative, they don't have the power to fine, they don't have the power to incarcerate. Okay? And that's due process. When government agents come and violate your right of due process, that's the cause. Okay? You can move it into federal court for cause, okay? That's what the cause is. And if you go into the Constitution, okay, under Article 3 of the Constitution, it says here very clearly, it says here, let's see, the judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity arising under this Constitution. The right of due process is in the Bill of Rights. It's an unalienable right. That's your cause. You can move it into court for that purpose. And you can get justice, and you can also win a damages from there, too. Restored and collect damages. But
right.
We got a couple of more callers, so make it a little quick now, because we're way past time. But go ahead.
Oh, okay. Would that FDCPA be applicable, too?
With what?
The FDCPA. The Fair Debt Collection Practices Act.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not familiar with that. So, you know, if you want to talk more about this, try to get in a little earlier next week into the queue, and we'll talk some more. Education is where you want to begin. You got to get educated.
I've been on the queue for an hour and a half. Now, you said...
Oh, okay. Well, you know, try to get in as soon as I hit the queue button, as soon as it says Q&A or something is open, session or whatever it is. Try to get in right away.
One quick question. You said something, if this organization did it, what do you mean by that?
I'm sorry. Say it again?
You had said something about if you filed it, if this organization filed it, what did you mean by that?
Well, what we do is we can join your case to our case, which is a due process case. It's all about due process. Everything we're fighting is about due process. We're not getting it anyways. Okay? The whole thing is fiction. They're de facto. Okay?
Okay, so after I make a payment, how do I get in touch with you guys?
Well, for which, to do what?
To look at joining the case for due process. And
okay, well, you send an email to intake@nationallibertyalliance.org. Jim will get that email, and he'll get back to you within 24 hours probably, and then discuss your case and see how we will go about it. Basically, you file a joinder. And once we get the joinder, filed, with us, that's just the agreement between us and you. You're saying you want to join the case. So once we get that done, then we do an amicus curiae, which is a paper on behalf of you as a friend of the court on your behalf. And we talk about due process and all the problems in the case. And they will probably ignore it. I'm sure we might have some cases where they were successful, but it's very rare if we were. Especially in the beginning, but they'll usually ignore it, and then they will default it, and we'll move them into our federal case for cause, and join your case, and then they have a final opportunity to answer, and we go after the judge.
Okay. Good. Okay. Sounds like a nice plan. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right, we're only a couple more minutes. It's 12:18, but let's see what we can get. We got two more callers. Let's try to do them quick if we can. But Roger, you got the mic. Roger, yep, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Okay, all right. I have two questions about two cases I had dismissed, and any information on prevailing party clause and a counterclaim in common law for damages.
What do you mean you had two cases dismissed? They came after you and they dismissed them?
Yeah, traffic criminal, one for DUI. I had a string out for a year and a half with an attorney, was dismissed last October, and another criminal traffic where they basically pulled me out of my vehicle and assaulted me and gave me obstruction, and I beat that on my own. So both of them I have considerable damages I would consider on a trespass under common law. But first, I want to go after my attorney's cost and prevailing party clause. If it's offered to me, then I'd like to file some kind of claim or something in common law or civil for damages, under trespass is what I was looking at.
Well, you can file papers in the court concerning the damages. Now that they found you, they dismissed it, or they found you not guilty, what is it that they did?
They dismissed both cases, one with an attorney and one without, and it was just when I did it for myself on my own case, they tried to give an excuse. The judge didn't even want to answer my paperwork. He said he had jurisdiction, tossed it to the DA.
Right, of course.
I acquired fines, so we're just going to let your case dismissed since you already acquired fines. So that was his reasoning. And for the DUI with my attorney, we had challenged their affidavit. They had made a procedural error.
Right, but how did it end, though? I mean, you said it was dismissed. I mean, is there anything else they said about it? Just dismissed, period?
Just dismissed.
Okay. So then they're dismissed. You could try something a little, off the cuff, maybe, is file a paper in the court looking for restitution. You've been drugged through their courts. The cases have been dismissed. You're not guilty. You've been damaged, and this is what I need to be fixed, whatever the damages are. First of all, you want to be restored anything you spent and that kind of thing, and then if you feel there were certain damages, usually a rights damage, of course, and put that together. They're going to laugh at it, ignore it, and tell you to take a hike. But then you can move it into federal court for cause. They damaged you for due process, particularly. You didn't have the right to do it, no matter whether it was real or not. It's not a court that can give you due process to begin with, okay? And so you could try moving it into federal. But, again, you need to know how to do it. You got a lot of homework to do if you've never done it before, and it requires an education. Hopefully we'll be on the other side of things soon, and you'll be able to deal with this in state courts.
Go ahead.
No, just filing your damages in a state court, but go ahead.
Is it my understanding that everything needs to be exhausted in state court before moving to federal court?
Well, that's what they say, but I don't give that any heed, and I move it anyway, and whatever I've moved in always moved over, and they can play all the games they want, but I'm not under statute. That's my opinion. And
John,
the federal court will have to try to make a decision on that, maybe. And if they do, you know, you have to be able to defend that. Yeah, Brent.
It is true, in some circumstances, that administrative remedies have to be exhausted. The exhaustion of administrative remedies, they call it. In other words, if it starts out administratively in an administrative tribunal, but in front of a bureaucracy, and then you try to go to court.
As long as they have jurisdiction, though.
Well, yes, that's always true, of course.
Right.
But and often they don't, as we know. They try to take it. But when it comes to removal, which is what you've been talking about, that's something you don't ask the court to do that. You just do it. It's not a motion.
Amen.
You just do it. If you think the federal court has jurisdiction, you move it over there and then let them fight about it over there. And then if you're wrong or the judge says you're wrong, then they'll throw it back to state court. But if the feds have jurisdiction under the Constitution, their operative language in the federal courts is the federal courts have jurisdiction. This is the overarching principle. The federal courts have jurisdiction over matters arising under the Constitution of the United States or laws or treaties pursuant thereto. Arising under
Section 2, that's the key.
Yeah, the arising under clause. And the federal courts don't have any jurisdiction. But John made the point a while ago about due process. Due process is the biggest thing in our world. Well, due process is the holy of holies, and that's not a comparative, that's a superlative. And if there is no jurisdiction, that ends the matter. And if the jurisdiction was wrong and somebody discovers it 20 years later, it can be reversed. That's how important jurisdiction is.
Okay.
So when the Patriot groups say jurisdiction is everything, they're right. But that doesn't mean the courts are always going to agree with you. But anyway, just two things, I guess, to emphasize. Exhaustion of administrative remedies at the state or federal level is important if you're in that jurisdiction. But if you're not, you can get into federal court by removing the case if you think that there's something arising under the Constitution or the laws of the United States. That's why when I file complaints, I often put in, if I can put it in there realistically, put in a claim of a violation of rights of religion under the First Amendment or rights of free speech or rights of petition, the duty you have to do those things, because that's some clear stuff arising. It's amazing to me how often violations of rights to religious freedom are violated, and we don't think about it. If you stop and think about your case, do you have a religious conviction about something that's involved here? Well, then what does that mean? How do you know if you got a religious conviction? Well, the courts have given us tests to know what religion is. What is religion? Well, religion is those things, says the Supreme Court, that goes to the fundamental questions of human existence. Well, do you have that? Then secondly, if you've got that, then number two is it a conviction or just an incredibly strong preference? If it's only an incredibly strong preference, you don't get to claim your rights under the free exercise clause of the First Amendment. And when I mean a conviction, well, conviction is something that doesn't change no matter what. It's part of who you are. If they could throw you in jail, they could threaten to execute your wife. So let's say I have a conviction that I don't want a television in my house. Well, how strong is that? What if they come and threaten your wife? Because you say, well, television is against my religion. Well, let's see if it really is. The feds come and threaten to indict your wife, and they do indict her. Then they're going to take her to trial and throw her in jail. How strong is your conviction? Would you say, well, that's not that strong? It is a strong preference. It is a strong preference, for instance, that I homeschool my children. Well, how strong is it? You run out of money and you quit? Well, that's not a conviction, and therefore you're not entitled to your rights under the First Amendment. That's Yoder versus the state of Wisconsin, or the state of Wisconsin, I should say, versus Yoder. That was the case that established that distinction. I think that was in 74. But those are the kind of things that I think are important to think about. And this religious, see, this is what's right in the forefront right now with all this Covine stupidity. The shutting down churches and keeping abortion clinics open and telling people, you don't, well, have you got, how strong is your conviction about taking communion or the Lord's Supper, as the Protestants would say? Is that strong? If it's strong, then you won't change no matter what. You'll go to church anyway, and you'll do it. I don't care if they arrest you, throw you in jail, throw your wife in jail, and threaten to execute your mother-in-law. A conviction doesn't change. Why is it that people haven't been going to church? I don't know. That tells me there is no conviction. And if
well,
you
heard what you heard what happened. You heard what happened with Justice Roberts this week, did you? Was it last week?
No. Well, I heard he ruled wrong, but other than that.
Yeah, he was the one who took it to the left side and went up against freedom of religion ultimately.
Yeah.
States that were trying to prevent people from going to church. He ruled on behalf of the state.
Yep.
And the Supreme Court, correct?
He's got to go, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. We have too many liberal Supreme Court judges on deck right now.
I'm sorry?
What is that? Go ahead.
Yeah, we've got four problem judges, but actually we have five because Justice Roberts is a problem.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll get off the line here. I appreciate the help. I'm going to study here. My initial cause was a filed claim under trespass, but I understand First Amendment falls strongly in there as well. And I was just looking for any information because I think that's the next thing I'm going
to
do.
Right of due process is the key. That is the key to all of this because everything they're doing is they're violating your right of due process. Look at all of these courts are de facto courts. They're not. They're fiction. Even though they're holding power, they're not real. And yet they have their power and authority because we, the people, give it to them. We believe them. Knowledge is power. When the people realize, the emperor has no clothes on, that's the day that they'll collapse.
Well, I read somewhere they said we haven't had a real judge on the bench for I don't know how many years. They're all administrative law judges. I understand that they didn't answer my question.
Look at judges. Judges have no business ruling over the matters of the people unless they allow them to do it. You know, when I was a contractor and doing construction work and stuff, I'd much rather just go before a judge, get it out, and get it done quickly. But I found so much corruption and stuff, I went a different route. We went through arbitration in the contracts, and then we didn't have to deal with the courts no more. But you can go, if you got a just judge that's really going to be, rule on a case and be just about it and decide what's right and wrong and go forward, then that's the way I would go in a contract dispute or something of that nature. But of course, if it's criminal, it's got to go into common law. And if it's over $20 and you want it to go into common law, you go into common law, which means a tribunal. The judge has no business making these decisions, okay, without your permission.
He shall remain impartial, and that's another thing that nobody understands as well.
Right. Well, look at the case. The case of that federal judge playing the game up there. I mean, obviously he's not impartial. What was it, Sullivan, I think? Yeah, that's his name, Sullivan.
By coffee.
General. But in any event, look at these judges should not be making decisions on the people. People should be making decisions on the people, the tribunal, especially if it is anything where they're coming out after you're criminal. It has to be that way. It's got to be a court of record. That's the only lawful court. And anything other than a court of record, then it's you're not getting due process. And I can assure you, I can tell you all of the state courts, the state court here in New York and all of the county courts and even down, of course, definitely most especially down into the town and village courts, they're not even courts of record. They're operating under civil law. They're not operating under the law of the land, under common law. So, all right, we got to move on. I got one other caller.
Okay, thank you. God bless and have a good night.
You too. Thank you. Okay, final caller, Jim from Pennsylvania.
Okay, good evening. Jim in Pennsylvania. I have a very brief comment. I'm just really concerned about the direction NLA is going. Back in the day when myself and Jan and a mutual friend of ours that is now deceased. We organized the 67 counties in Pennsylvania, and our purpose was to reinstate the common law grand jury. And that was our purpose, and that's why I have so much confidence. So I'm just concerned that we're not turned into a late-night talk show about aliens or poems or allodial titles or traffic citations. I'm just concerned about the direction NLA is going, and I yield.
Well, let me just talk about a few of the things we are doing. We have to do it all. We have to educate the people in all things. We can't have half control. We have to have 100% control. And in order for the people to have the full control, they have to control the political process, they have to control the judicial process, and they got to control the militia. You know, they have to be the militia, the posse comitatus. They have to educate their sheriffs and make sure that their sheriffs are constitutional, that they understand the Constitution and that they're on board with the things that they're doing. And all of those things need to be taken place on the grassroots level. Now, there's absolutely nothing we can accomplish unless we first accomplish taking control of the courts, because the courts is the key to taking power everywhere else. If we take control of the federal court by just winning control of the federal court, by bringing in the fact that the people need to be administrating to the juries, and the juries have to be untainted, and they have to be controlled by the people, and not the judge, and not the prosecutor, and not the government at all. Now, when we formed the unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, the first thing we had to do was visit all the counties throughout the nation. And a lot of people were involved with that, bringing the message and so on and so forth, and, what we were doing. And so we went to every single county, and we called the counties that we had a meeting in, where the people took a vote at the end, said, yeah, we want the common law grand jury, we want justice back in our courts. And we called that constituting the counties. Now, we did that in over 3,000 counties. There's 3,133 counties. We've done it in over 3,000 counties. There are certain counties in Alaska and certain places. We did do all of Hawaii, and we did do some counties up in Alaska, but we didn't do all of them. We didn't do all the counties up in Maine and, the real rural places where there may not even be anything but bears up there anyway. But generally speaking, we've been to 3,000. Now, here's the key. You can't go and organize something. We formed the unified state common law grand juries, okay? And so every state has been formed into a unified grand jury. And then all 50 states came together to form the unified United States common law grand jury. And the purpose of the unified United States common law grand jury is in order to deal with enemies, particularly domestic, but foreign and domestic, okay, and to take back our courts. And so that's what the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury is about. Now, meanwhile, we don't want states to have a Unified State Common Law Grand Jury per se in action, okay, but we form them to come together so we can show that we're not just a couple of people maybe out of New York or New Jersey. We are people in every state of the union and in most of the counties, and that's where we've come from. We are organic. We are the grassroots. We've come up, and we want to take our courts back. And, of course, after that, it's the political process, the militia, and so on. But it's a wrongdoing to try to empower people to do things. First of all, in a unified state grand jury, there'd be no need for that once the federal court is brought into order. What we need is the grand juries free and independent on the county level, okay? But it's a wrongdoing for people to go out and do things if they're not educated enough. And so in order for people to become educated, in order to do these things, they have to take our courses to begin with, okay? They should be involved in different things, a committee or something. People should be involved. They should be educating themselves in action. They should be educating themselves in paper and videos and audios, and preparing. And then we have a handbook that will get out, and then people will be qualified to be able to take those positions. Now, we've had a lot of people who tried to go off on their own and do things, and we've advised them not to do it, and we had to break them away. We've had three groups. We had a group in Florida. We had a group in, I think it was Colorado, and it was another place. I forget the other place. But we had three different groups of people, and they were doing the man on the land stuff. We had to separate them from us. The people, sometimes they just want to jump in and do things, but they need to get educated first. They need to understand the court system. They need to understand the process. They need to understand law. They need to know the difference between equity and law. They need to know the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence. They have to know the history of the common law. And all of this, you know, it's just spending some time to learn like anything else. But you have to become qualified. So it's not that we've forgotten any of those things, but we're not ready to empower anyone. The moment we win in the federal court and take back control into the federal court is the day that we can then turn to each of the states and force the states to be obedient to the law and allow the people to control the grand juries and the trial juries, to be the ones who orientate them and make sure they're not tainted. The people have to be the watchdogs. We can't let the fox be in charge of the hen house, which is what's going on, which, of course, is the judge and the prosecutor. So there's a process, and it takes time. And then now once we get there and we say, okay, it's ready to go, the question becomes, are you educated? Do you know what to do? Do you understand the process? Are you going to follow the regulations that we've put together? I don't want to call them regulations, but they're called resolutions, okay? Following justice, ultimately, getting educated, okay, taking that vow to God, and work through that process. But that's when that will be executed. It can't be done until we take the federal court back. And until then, you won't be able to be empowered in the courts on the county level. And once you're empowered in the courts on the county level, there's no need for a federal, a federal jury. There's no need for that, in the sense that it doesn't have to be decided to choose jurists in a federal court. Wherever the injury or the situation, the crime or whatever it is that they're claiming took place, wherever that took place, whatever county, well, then they need to see the grand jury in that county, which could sit as a federal grand jury at that point in time, and then they can say yay or nay on the charges that the government may be trying to apply upon an individual. But again, people can't take these positions and do things if they don't know what they're doing, and it would be a wrongdoing for us to try to empower them or to assist them if they don't have the knowledge. So that's the problem, and it takes time, and we have to take back the political process. We have to take back the militia. We have to rebuild all these things. But those can't happen at all. But we should be educating ourselves on it. But that can't happen until we take back the courts. Because then the courts, when you take back the courts, then you can apply the law, which requires an elected committeeman and not an appointed committeeman with party bosses. We can get rid of that whole process, that whole thing, and return it back to the way it should be. So hopefully that, you know, explains, maybe our lack of being able to get to where you'd like to see us in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania's not ready. I don't know anybody in Pennsylvania that's ready to take these positions yet. People are educating themselves, but I'm not aware of being ready yet. So, Jim, you got a final word?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, John, I am in agreement with you. But I'll restate my point, that we only have a 3-hour conference call.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should utilize it more efficiently and let guys like myself learn more about reinstating the common law grand jury.
Well, I agree. We should focus more towards, like, I try to pick a topic. I haven't had a topic the last two Mondays, but we've had topics like 6 or 7 weeks in a row. And I hope, or try to hope, that people will say, hey, let's stay on that topic maybe, and maybe the topic can move around. But, yeah, let's talk more about the courts. Let's talk more about the process and the procedures. Let's talk about the difference between law and equity. Let's talk about the things that will educate us. But it is true, people also have problems, and they ask questions. We can't ignore that. But it's up to the people to bring those questions. You know, that's the key. And I agree, I'd like to be more, you know, nuts and bolts in the common law and in the procedures of the court than some of the subject matters we have. But again, it's not that those other subject matters are unimportant, because people are coming to us also with problems, and we're trying to assist them in any way we can with those problems. Some of them we can't. We're not able to, because, you know, sometimes, you know, in certain cases, we can only take on certain cases in assisting people. So, anyway, hopefully we'll do better.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it. I love the NLA, but I just had to make that point. And I just want to say good night, and I yield.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. Okay, everybody, we've come to the end of the evening, and boy, we're way overboard, but we got everybody in. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday, and again, hopefully well, next Monday, I think we will be talking about the case that we're going to be filing against YouTube and others. It's a very important case, and it will really assist us quite well, as you will see next Monday when we talk about it. With that, good night. Godspeed. If I can shut the...